Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Chris Degenier Open Forum call, and hopefully people will call in so we have an open forum. It's 10 o'clock, and it's Monday, March 29th, 2010. The year just began, and a quarter of it's over already. It's incredible how fast time's going. Hello, Bruce. How you doing? Hello, Gerald.
Hello.
Wonderful. How's it going tonight? What's happening?
Well, should Christians embrace the Jews and the immigration problem and Bible prophecy? So I want to put all those in audio. So
great.
And direct That's people to Christogenia so they can do their research and investigating. That's what I encourage folks, especially people who, aren't a two-seed line and aware of their history. Yeah.
Thank you. I would really recommend Clifton's The Unseen World Within Our World, and They're Your Children, Do You Care? Which shows that the beginning of all this, you know, this modern multicultural cesspool that the Jews have built really began around 1911, publicly anyway.
Yeah, the melting pot.
Israel Zangwill wrote his play, The Melting Pot, right? It started rolling on the road in 1911.
Yeah.
It's like me, in my mind, sometimes I catch myself thinking I want to go back to the 60s, but the country was already screwed up. It was already long gone. But we don't get, we always think it was better when we were young, but it was already on this road to perdition.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of our brethren went over there overseas to foreign wars and were slaughtered on the Jewish altar.
Well, right, but I mean, the whole multiculturalism ball, the whole sports entertainment complex, the Jew control over Hollywood, this all began, the Federal Reserve, it all began long before any of us were born.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they probably had the outline for the Holocaust back when Cain was seducing Eva. Yeah, probably all started right there.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. That's why Satan is called the accuser of our race in Revelation, right?
Yeah, turns everything around to be the victim, and everybody else is a victimizer.
Right, so whenever you hear that Satan, is called the accuser of our race in the Revelation, that should clue Christians off right now that whenever a Jew is lying about anybody, he's lying. Well, whenever a Jew is pointing the finger at anybody, he's lying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the backfire mode's going to go off soon, so praise Yahweh.
Yeah, praise Yahweh. That's all we can do is praise Yahweh and hope that he fulfills his word quickly. That's all we could do for now, anyway. Daryl, what are your thoughts on all this? Or did you just call in to listen?
No, I I'm kind of angry right now. There's things going on, and I've been following this arrest going on with the militia in Michigan, and there's a lot more to all that than what is coming out in the news and what most people know about it.
Well, isn't that the way it always is?
Yeah. I don't know if you'd like me to explain a little bit about what I have discovered or not for the night, but I'm willing if y'all are interested.
Well, give us a rundown, because, even though this isn't the militia channel and Christians are being arrested, Christians should be concerned.
Well, it seems like there are different fractions within the militia movement, especially in Michigan. And the major militia movement, Michigan group, is not the one that is involved in these arrests at the present time. It is a splinter group, Hatari, and they are being targeted and are being rounded up. More happened today. they are being taunted as a Christian group, which I believe they are part of a Christian identity understanding. I believe I was told by someone that they were following a preacher who was a seed one seed liner. Anyway, this particular splinter group is not very large, but they were banishing their weapons and doing all their big gun talk and everything, and they were threatening police and a funeral, and they were going to bomb the funeral after they killed a policeman and all this kind of stuff.
They were making the public open threats like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is what the mainstream media
the press is reporting. Okay.
Is reporting. But I tuned in to American Resistance Radio just before your program started, and I was on it for about 20 minutes. There were about 20 people there. And Jim Soloviak is the guy that's running it. And, of course, he's big in getting all of the militia people and anybody else to join up with him and to subscribe to his political views and things. And I was in it 20 minutes. There was 20 people there. Not one person got kicked out. Suddenly, I got kicked out, and I could not get back into the program. As a matter of fact, it took me 12 minutes to get in, into your program.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that it's something to do with TalkShoe and him, and I think that some of the CI people are identified, and that's why we're having so much trouble. Now, that's just my own personal opinion. However, I'm quite concerned because these, I smell a rat. I think that this splinter group has been set up either deliberately by agent provocateurs or by people who are have gotten information on these people and are turning them in to the feds or whatever. But their actions do not speak of a legitimate militia group. There are many, many militia groups all over the United States, and most of them are very legitimate and very honorable, and they don't go around doing stupid things.
Well, right. I mean, it's absolutely vain. Making idle threats and doing stupid things is
better than anything anywhere. My opinion is that these people, whoever is involved, are doing these things deliberately to give the feds and Homeland Security and whoever else a reason to go in and attack them. Now, there was an additional arrest made this afternoon. There was a church raided where I think five or six of these Atari members were arrested and carried out. And then there were reports floating around that all hell was going to break loose, that there were people that was going to rise up and riot all over the country, militia people. And this whole thing is being set up, and it's directed at CI people, supposedly Christian people. And Jim Soloviak, they were making comments that this group, because they had some of the militia, from Michigan people on there, and they were talking about what was going on, and they were saying that they had distanced themselves from this Christian fraction group. And, of course, Jim Soloviak is Jewish, and he has put himself in position of trying to lead all these groups and gather information. He encourages everybody to call in and participate and give up information and everything else.
Well, that's the trap that the one seed liners can fall into, isn't it?
It is exactly.
As far as I'm concerned,
it is exactly. But there are reports that there are attempts fixing to be be made or being made to go in and arrest people in various other states. Now, I don't know if this is a general crackdown or what it is, but it could be a very serious situation. And I think it's something that all of us, whether we're politically inclined or not, we need to be aware of, and we need to be watching what's going on and listening very carefully, because it could affect everyone. And it could be a very serious situation. It could be another one of these trial balloons to see what people will react and all that sort of thing. And,
well, it could be another excuse to pass more draconian laws, too. I mean,
well, precisely. But Obama and the rest of the ilk, and that's exactly what they are, in my opinion, they have pledged to stamp out all radical right-wing extremists, and he has particularly mentioned Christian identity twice.
Yeah, right. And I have the Eric Suthers video on Christogenius.
Right. And, of course, Hillary Clinton and I'm sure some of the other, Madam Pelosi or whatever you want to call her, they all hate us because Christian identity is the only group of people who really have the truth. And they're the people who are out there telling the truth. And I think they are the people, we are the people who are feared the most by the enemies of Yahshua and the enemies of this republic. So anyway, I think that it could be a very serious situation. I think we all ought to be aware of what's going on, whether we think that we should politically do anything or physically do anything or not. We should at least be aware and cognizant of what is happening, because if something does come down, it's going to affect us all. And we all know that Yahshua and through Yahweh is going to protect and is going to lead the fight and all of that. But it's my contention that we don't know when he's going to step in. And since we are in a tribulation situation, we may all suffer before the final battle begins. And I think that Yahshua expects us to be prepared to protect ourselves, our family, and perhaps our institution, our republic. Now, this is my opinion. I'm not asking anyone else to go along with it. But I do think that for our own safety and well-being, we need to keep up with what's going on and be prepared. I think that we need to be prepared in any way that we can. We need to have food supplies. We need to check out roadways, which roadways would be closed in the event of a national emergency was called. We need to have protection for ourselves and our families. And this is not a scare deal or anything else. It's just good common sense. But I think we need to do that. And the longer we wait to prepare ourselves, we're asking for a disaster perhaps in our lives. And I think we owe it to our families and the people around us to try to protect ourselves. Now, nothing may happen, but there's always a possibility, because Obama is getting scared. The traitors in Congress are getting scared. They're running scared because of what they have done and are doing to our great, our once great republic. And I think they fear that there is going to be a backlash and a rebellion in this country. And they don't know which way it's going to go or how they're going to contain it or whatever. So, we need to pray. We need to get on our knees. We need to ask, Yahshua to intercede in our behalf as he promised he would do. And, we need to repent more than anything else. And I don't think Yahshua is going to come to our aid until we repent. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. But I think we have a duty and obligation as watchmen, And I think everybody in CI, especially on these talk show programs, I think we're all the watchmen. And I think it is our duty and responsibility to stay abreast of what's going on and to alert our kinsmen to what we should do spiritually and physically. One other thing I think I might mention.
Well, I think the best way that we can alert our kinsmen now, it is, and it's something that we have been taught as a people, it's a position that we've been taught to abdicate, and that is to renounce sin. The book of Leviticus says that if you see a sin and you don't renounce it, you're guilty of it. And 90% of the white people in this country sit in these church pews. They sit in these movie theaters. They see men making out with men and women making out with women. They see mixed race unions, and they say nothing about it. And if they accept that sin, they deserve the punishment, period.
I mean.
Oh, I think you're 1,000% correct on that, Bill.
And Middle America, everybody says that Middle America is basically good, and most of those people are basically good, but they're accepting the sin. They're not speaking back against their preachers. They're not speaking out about they're supporting it. They're supporting these preachers. They're supporting these Jews in Hollywood. And that's why they're part of the punishment.
Right. There's one other thing I'd like to bring up. I got an email this afternoon telling about the fact that Obama has stated that American troops are going to march in the Moscow 65th anniversary parade honoring Stalin and the defeat of the Nazis. And I think England, the British, us, and another country are going to participate for the first time in one of these celebrations in Moscow. I think that is a disgrace and a slap in the face of every American and every Jacob Israelite person.
Well, it's
yet,
proof the Jews won, General. It's proof.
I understand that. But I, frankly, am tired of having it slapped into my face every time I turn around. We continually are losing. We're losing the battles on every front. And I know it's got to happen. I know Babylon has got to fall. I know the cracks are forming and all. But at the same time, as I've stated before, my southern blood tells me, you know, enough. And I'm just hoping and praying that Jacob Israel, the remnant, will stand up and say enough at some point. And perhaps then Yahshua will come to our aid. I'm not sure he's going to come until the remnant stands up and calls for him. There again, that's my opinion.
Well,
I know there's some that...
The last remnant was aid, I'm telling you. It could get worse.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
The last
part about
is eight.
But I'm not a defeatist. I've never been a defeatist. And I'm not going to, you know, I may be in this handicapped in this chair, but I'll go out fighting every way I can. I just think that we need, and I think Yahweh expects us to protect and preserve that which we've got. I don't think that he expects us to go hide behind some tree. Now, you know, to what extent, that's up for debate. But I think that we are supposed to do certain things. And I think we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to try to preserve our race and our country. And when we fail to do this or refuse to do this, I think we are slapping Yahweh in the face. I have spoken. I'm through.
I'm going to quote Leviticus 5:1 from the Septuagint. I mean, this interpretation can be argued, but if the soul sins and hears the voice of swearing and he is a witness or has seen or been conscious of it, if he does not report it, he shall bear his iniquity.
Yeah.
If you see the sin going around or on around you and you're conscious of it and you don't report it or cry out against it, that's the way I read that. You're responsible for that sin. Clifton wrote a paper on that very passage several years ago, and I'm sorry, I don't really remember the paper. And maybe I'll try to talk him out into remembering it next time I speak to him. But it was basically along those same lines, the gist of the paper.
I wish some other people would call in. You know, there's just a few of us that participate and call in, and I've been rather outspoken tonight. I don't think I've spoken quite like this before, but I'm kind of angry and upset. But I wish some of those other people out there in the chat room would call in and discuss their view. This is an open forum, and they need to call in and express their opinions and views too. I think it's their duty and responsibility just as much as it is mine or anyone else's. So the challenge is out there, gentlemen and ladies.
Well, I had an interesting phone call yesterday, and I resorted to profanity, but I think the guy deserved it. I mean, it wasn't bad, I don't think, but he calls me up on my line that the ARA published back in June. They published one of my phone numbers. And he asks me, is this Christogenia? And I wanted to tell him no and hang up because I could sense the hostility in his voice immediately. But I said, yeah, this is me. I didn't want to give him my name or anything. I just said, yeah, this is it. And he said, he started browbeating me about the use of the name Yahweh and swearing to me it was Jehovah. And that there was no archaeological evidence concerning the name Yahweh in the vowel pointing of the Tetragrammaton. So I explained to him that the vowel pointing of the Tetragrammaton was from the 6th, 7th century A.D. Masoretic rabbis, and that it was really no authority. And he seems to have understood that. So I went on to describe the four vowels of Josephus and some other evidence, and I asked him if that wasn't archaeological evidence, because that's 500 years before the Masoretes. And he kept on making circular arguments to get back to the Masoretic text. And after about four times, I just told him, F the Masoretic text. And he got so appalled that I said that he hung up on me. And I thought to myself, well, I should have done that on the second time instead of the fourth. this man was hostile from the very beginning. He was absolutely right, and there was no way I was going to change his mind. But what makes Christians believe the Jews? I can't understand this. Why should we believe the Jews? And I could voice a million arguments in favor of my position on the name Yahweh, on the efficacy of the name, and the truth of the name. But he didn't want to hear any of them. He wanted to beat me over the head with Jehovah, even though you can't make Jehovah out of four vowels either. From Josephus. I don't know how he gets Jehovah out of four vowels. I can't understand it. He didn't stick around to explain. But yes, Eli, I believe he was probably a Jew. And I'm talking to Clifton. I don't remember if it was this morning or yesterday afternoon. I think it was this morning I spoke to Clifton. And the same guy called Clifton after he called me. He called me, and then he started calling. He called Clifton to fight with him. I guess he thought that he'd go the whole round. I don't know. I don't know if he's listening. I'd invite him to call in here as long as he left his hostility behind. But I could just, you know, you ever talk to somebody and you sense the hostility in their voice immediately? Well, this was him. That described him to a T. He had to be a Jew. An ADL-trained blogger. Yeah, Greg, you're probably right. But he was making some really ridiculous arguments in favor of the Jewish text. So he had to be a Jew. You're right.
Bill.
Yes.
Where have you been,
James?
Are any of you guys, anybody, period, there, aware of Sherry Jackson, that name? okay, the black lady that was arrested several months ago that found out the IRS is phony and...
Yeah, well, why should I even be concerned about her is what I want to know.
Well, I just got, after several months, I wrote her a letter because I'd been in there too over the income tax, phony income tax. Anyway, I finally got a letter today from her after months, and it's just a short thing. I can't understand it real good, but it's anyway, hi, James. Thanks for caring enough to write me. My health is much better now, however, because of the something I don't understand, I don't get that. I was shipped from the prison camp to a real prison. She's in Florida in a prison there at,
she's in Coleman. That ain't tough.
Pocketville? Oh, Coleman? You okay?
Well, that's the only woman's prison I know in Florida is Coleman.
Okay. But I was shipped from the prison camp to a real prison and placed in solitary confinement where I have been for 96 days just because she spoke up, and just like that other guy, the agent, that gun carrying agent, I tried to get a hold of him today, but I did get a hold of the other guy, the American, tax fighters. Please pray for my immediate.
You can't pray for her. She's a beast. You can't pray for a beast.
Well, she joined us.
When the Jew asked the apostle, she didn't join us. She can't join us.
Well, she turned against the IRS and found out they were phony.
So what?
Okay, I won't say no more.
I mean, eventually the elephant learns it's part of the circus. It's plausible anyway.
I won't say no more. I just thought it'd be interesting. Thought somebody might know about it, care about it.
Negro can't join us. That's not possible.
I didn't say to join us. I just whatever. So much for that.
Sorry, James. I ain't seen you in months, but this ain't no way to make an entrance here. I'm sorry. It just ain't happening.
Okay. I just happened to get this letter today, and I spoke out about it. So. Go on about it, whoever.
I mean, we all know the IRS is crooked. She hasn't taught us anything new.
Well,
they whack beasts over the head, too, when they speak out.
Yep, well, that's what they did.
All right.
But at least she's a Christian beast.
No, she's not, James.
Well, according to what she says here.
According to what?
Well, you wouldn't let me finish. You wouldn't let me finish reading it.
James, I'm just muting you. Negroes can't be Christians. You can't get that off here. Go get that off on Wickstrom's program. I'm sorry. It's not possible. Negroes can't be Christians. It's not possible. I'm not going to accept that here. Go sell that on someone. Go call into Billy Graham or something, James. Go call into the Joel Osteen show. You'll be a lot more popular there. I don't believe you used to know Bill Gale. I'm sorry. I don't understand it. Am I wrong, Gerald? Am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong. Spank me. I'm not going to yell at nobody.
You're bigger than I am, Bill. I wouldn't dare try to spank you.
Nah, you can spank me. I wouldn't hit somebody 20 years older than me.
Well, you know, if I've been through the things you've been through in your life, and I'm not trying to alibi for you either, in case anybody thinks I am, I probably would have an attitude that, you know, my patience would probably be running a little thinner than what most people's were. And I can understand that. Sometimes you come across a little strong, but, you know, I understand what you're saying and why you're saying it. And, James is basically wrong. I mean, he means well. You know, he thinks that he's telling the right things, but you're technically right. I mean, the beasts are beasts, and they are not going to be in the kingdom. They don't have the birthright. Now, you know, when they die, we believe that they are gone. that they do not have eternal life. So, you know, we get back into that argument again where what do these good people who belong to other races, what happens to them if they profess their belief in Christ and try to live a good life? And I've known blacks here in Louisiana that are good people. True, there's not a lot of them, but there are some, and they've lived good lives. They think they're Christians. They try to do the right thing to the best of their ability, and I have compassion for them. I don't want to see them suffer, which they're not going to suffer eternally, but, you know, I do not know what Yahweh's plans are for other people. The Bible, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible is written to Israel, for Israel, and about Israel. And it doesn't go into whatever Yahweh's plans for other people may or may not be.
Well, let's read John 3, verses 5 through 7. Joshua said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee that you must be born from above." That's it. If
right.
You're not born from above, if you're not a child of Yahweh, you're a beast and you have nothing coming. And no, unnecessary suffering is not what anybody wants to see, even for a beast. It's unnecessary suffering, right? Is vain. It's not good. But that's Yeah, you know, the government, like Eli said just now a few minutes ago on the forum, the government doesn't discriminate against who they bash in the head. They don't discriminate against who they persecute. But a beast can't be a Christian, and a beast can't be one of us. And I'm never going to countenance, I'm never going to allow that to allow anybody to hear that I might be conciliatory in any way towards that attitude. That's a terrible attitude.
Right. The only thing I'm saying is, and the scriptures you quoted are correct, but they are for us. I do not know what Yahweh may or may not have plans for other people. And I don't think anyone can answer that. He didn't tell us. It's not our concern.
Well,
our concern is Jacob Israel.
I think he did tell us. He said that the all nations would be divided into two groups, sheep and goats.
Yeah, but isn't that for this time, for this period, for Jacob Israel?
He said all nations will be divided into sheep and goats. Jacob Israel are the sheep.
I understand that.
Everybody else, that has to be a goat. There's no third alternative. I know that sounds cruel, but that's the way it is. That's the will of God. And there's many other arguments and there's many other scriptures. There's the parable of the net. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. When dipped into the sea, we'll pull up fish of every kind. That word kind is genos. It means race. And the good kind will be taken out and put into vessels.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, see, I believe
the bad
100%.
Kind are not tossed back into the sea, Gerald.
Well, Bill, the only point I was making is that it's possible that Yahweh might have a plan out there that he doesn't tell us anything about later down, who knows how many million years from now, for someone else. We're not concerned with that. We're only concerned about our race, our people, our birthright, and the promises made to us. And that's all we should be concentrated on.
Well, if I go by the information he gave me, there's only two kinds of people in the world, sheep and goats, and I know who the sheep are and the rest are goats.
And I agree there, too. But I think it's for this time. And it may be. That may be permanent.
Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. The Baptists will take care of the Negroes.
Yeah, Eli was good with that one.
I don't know how Bruce keeps getting muted because I keep unmuting him.
You know, while I got just a quick chance, I would like to encourage everybody that's in the chat room if you get a chance, tune in to Bruce's new programs. He's doing a great job on reading Clifton's letters, and we need to support him. I know we can't go to every program all the time, but Bruce is doing a very good job. He's very eloquent in what he's doing, and he's performing a service that's going to actually help us all in getting Eli's information out there. And I think that we should support him and whenever we can to tune into his programs. And I think Bruce should be bold enough to list the times when his programs are going to be and the call numbers and everything so that people will know when and or what program number to call in on.
Well, if Bruce would join the forum, he could post it in the forum. I don't think Bruce has ever joined the forum, the Christogenia forum.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that, Bill. I just never. Thanks, Gerald. Everything goes to Yahweh, just like it does through Bill and Clifton. And
Pilgrim thinks it's a secret.
Hmm? What's that?
Pilgrim thinks your programs are a secret, Bruce.
Well, we're so well hidden in Yahweh, we don't even know who we are.
Hello, Patricia.
Hey, Bill. How's it going? Bruce,
okay, how are you?
Hi.
I'm good. I'm good, thanks. Appreciate you asking. You know, they're really stepping it up. I don't know if anyone saw the news about Nancy Schaefer. She's a senator from Georgia, state senator. I think she's a state senator, and she's been a real activist against CPS, exposing them for all their corruption. And her they're trying to call it a murder-suicide, but I don't believe it. I believe they were both murdered.
Is she dead?
Dead. Her and her husband both.
Wow.
That's heavy. You know, I hate to, bring up this kind of stuff, really, but I think call me paranoid, but this Christian militia arrest nonsense, and now their murder suicide. I'm just I think it's a murder.
Excuse my ignorance. Is she a state senator in Georgia?
I think so. Nancy Schaefer. I just know her because of the CPS things, Child Protective Services, and the work I did on that when I was at the Idaho Observer, and so on. It's kind of interesting because I put True Ott, who's been a guest on Eli's show, is a he's a PhD. I think he's a naturopath as well. He I worked it out for Mike Gibson, who's also been on Eli's show, to appear on True's show tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. It's the story behind the story, and because they're exposing all the terrible things that are going on in CPS, like the black box drugging of children. It's 2,000 to 3,000 children a day are put on black box drugs that aren't supposed to be given to anybody under the age of 25. And so Nancy Schaefer's been exposing that, and we feel real strongly that it was murder, not murder-suicide.
Bruce Schaefer, suspected of killing his wife, former state Senator Nancy Schaefer, and himself last week, apparently was not suffering from a terminal disease, as reported earlier. Habersham County Sheriff Joey Terrell said on Monday that he found no evidence that Bruce Schaefer was ill. Talking with the family, talking with the daughter who sees them about every other day, they don't know anything about it, the sheriff said. If he did, he kept such an illness from them. On Friday, a state senator and physician who said he knew the Schaefers well said he believed Bruce Schaefer had cancer, and evidently that's a false report. Sheriff Terrell said Schaefer left a 4-page suicide note at the couple's home near Clarksville. 4 pages. That's a biography. That's not a suicide note.
Right.
He also left several letters addressed to family members. There may be indications that finances played a role in the case, Terrell said, but nothing has been seen so far which establishes a clear motive. Okay. I just want that's from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Yeah. That's
the mainstream.
Real conservative and, fighting against CPS, so. I just always, I'm paranoid, so I always, question those kinds of things.
Can somebody hold this program down for a minute? I got to run upstairs. This dog's winding off. I'm going to tell you, I'm weak.
Okay. We'll hang in there. So I got here late. I'm sorry I was out playing tennis. Mm. Sorry. But what's everybody's take on this Christian militia arrest?
Well, I've already stated my position, and I would like to clear up one thing, because I think there's some people in the chat room that may have gotten the wrong idea by something I had said a little bit ago. I do not advocate nor believe that any of the other races are going to be in the kingdom or should be there. I understand everything that Bill was discussing, and I agree wholeheartedly. However, my only point was that none of us know the mind of Yahweh. And I don't know if Yahweh has any kind of a plan out there that's beyond our world and our existence and our kingdom. I mean, our solar system and universe is billions and trillions of galaxies and everything. And to think that Yahweh would limit his tremendous knowledge and ability to this poor little old puny planet, I can't accept that. And Yahweh may have many, 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 many plans out there going on and will go on. And we may all play a part in it at some point after the kingdom, and who knows what he has in store for us. And that was the only point I was making, that we're not told, it's not for us to worry about, or we're only to know and worry about what he has given us in his holy word. And I understand that, and I believe it wholeheartedly, and I do not advocate any of the other races being brought into our civilization or even in the kingdom. I'm just saying that who knows the mind of Yahweh. And that I just wanted to clear that up, because I saw a little bit of the chat going on, and there's one or two people out there that might have thought that I was advocating that the races and the Mansers and everybody ought to be brought in and saved, and that's not what I was saying.
Well, we have to imagine that his word is consistent.
Well, it is consistent, Bill, but it's consistent for, I think, our time, our people, and this plan. The only thing I'm saying is he may have other plans that he has not told us about, or that we won't know about, or
well,
may
well,
never
that's true.
More
we,
know
we have
about.
The clear word of prophecy, as Peter calls it, and the goats go to eternal punishment. And to me, that doesn't mean really, it really means eternal non-existence.
And only
the sheep go to everlasting life.
Right.
And that's, so evidently, as far as Yahweh's racial plan is concerned, I think that sums it up. I mean, you might think differently, but.
Well, no, I mean, all I did was just open up a thought out there, Bill. I wasn't advocating it or saying I believed it.
All right. I'm just very guarded about, and I'm not blaming you for this, and I know that we've all had experiences with people of other races that seem to be very good people. There's no doubt that they're not all wicked all the time, but they just don't have the tools that, and they don't have the origination in accordance with his divine plan. I mean, this planet, that this society was born in rebellion. We know that. That's clear in the Bible.
Yeah, and I accept that. And Mark Sharon evidently has misunderstood what maybe I didn't make myself clear as I should have. You know, I understand all that, but the only point I was making is, I do not know the mind of Yahweh except what he has told us. And, I know what is going to happen on this earth and to the people that's on this earth. Because the scriptures are very clear on that. But at the same time, all I'm saying is he may have plans out there that we know nothing about, and I'm not going to try to second-guess him.
Well, right. We shouldn't second-guess him, but when Yahshua Christ utters words like eternal and everlasting, I'm not going to try to interpret anything else.
Yeah, can I say something here? There's certain genetic codes in our matrix when we come through that door, through the Adamic line, and there are certain, I mean, Yahweh has, I mean, our genetics are so perfectly tuned with his original creation. And if we are mixed in, you know, then some of those keys are out of tune. And everything's by his design originally. And what it is, I think having any, just even an ounce of sympathy for, you know, like a sheep, the sheep hang around with the sheep, goats hang around with goats, but goats like to go in and, you know, hump the sheep, and they like to, they'll eat anything. If you ever see a goat, they'll right away, they'll go for your zipper. And, when we are not in tune with our heartstrings that are, our most deepest roots of what Yahweh has placed within our genetic codes. And it's a mystery, obviously. We don't know where we're lost to where we came from, and that's what we're all here talking about. And we can't even talk about the things to come, so we don't know, you know, we can't even speak those things or see them. Anybody says they have is, you know, kidding.
Well, we can't on our own, but when we have the word in the Bible, we and it's consistent with prophecy, and we know that the manuscripts are the best manuscripts we have, and that's the best word we have. That's what we have to go by.
Well, that's right, and those heartstrings are able to understand the sheep or hear his voice and are able to follow him. But when we follow the tares, the goats, the snakes, the drifting clouds that hung over water, basically the Jews, well, our heartstrings are, you know, we're not going to be able to get in line with the scriptures and understand them fully. But those heartstrings are still there, but they're just being manipulated. I think that's a good way. That's the only way I can describe it. But, I mean, those genetic heartstrings aren't in the other races. And they'll lick anything. I've seen, have you ever seen a goat go for your zipper? That's what they're like.
I don't really like to get close to goats, but I have seen Negroes go for white. I have seen that.
Well, yeah. Well, I brought a goat into my life, and I'll tell you, when I cast my pearls to that swine, it ripped me apart. And I cried out to Yahweh for a whole day. And
I just put in three links into the chat. Clifton released two papers, and actually there's more to follow. And they are a study on the word che, which is just basically a word study he threw together. That he drew from the notes for his papers, and identifying the beast of the field part one, and identifying the beast of the field part two, I posted those papers for Clifton to his website yesterday morning, and right now they're only available in PDF format, but that's because I have to convert the fonts to Unicode for the internet, and that might take me a while to get around to.
But I don't think our heartstrings, Gerald, I don't think I think they're really deep down in our people, those who really do love Yahweh sincerely. They want vengeance, you know. I mean, it's all according to Yahweh's laws. Everything will be judged correctly by Yahweh. You said correctly, but I mean, I don't think we could feel sympathy for, how can I say it? No, it's just wrong to step outside of our own kind. And,
it's wrong to call them Christians. And that's, you know, I think that James goes a little too far with that. And he's done that a few times on this program, and I can't accept it at all. Well, when he called that little faggot nigger, that Richard, whatever the hell his name, little Richard, a Christian, that just about drove me berserk. I mean, he has six strikes. He's queer and he's black. He can't be a Christian. There's no way.
Yeah.
Well, little Richard, he came and went out of the Christian environment several times. You know, he was a preacher off and on, and then he'd get out and go do his thing, and then he'd come back and be another preacher. So he's been a Christian several times. None of which really was.
I wouldn't say he was a Christian anyway.
No, I was saying that in jest. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut because every time I say something, I'm being missed.
I'm sorry, Joe.
But it may
you're
be
all right.
That tongue is tangled tonight.
I'm sorry, Joe. You're all right. I'm not. I'm just. I don't know. I'm just a.
Well, I'm trying to make it lively tonight. You said you needed help. I'm trying to help you.
Oh, I appreciate it. And we do. We need callers and discussion. And this is the time to iron these little things out. I mean, this is the time to discuss these little things. Greg is saying a second link will not bring up the file from my site. Let me check these three links again.
So while you're checking that file, can I ask a question? So since I'm late and I really want to know about this, can someone tell me what they think of this Christian militia arrest?
Well, Joe had the best, he was pretty informed on that, so.
I think it's just a stunt. I really do. Just the public's going to be outraged, and if they're not, they're just going to start the sweep.
Well, I think it's an attempt to draw people out and to force people who are not informed enough to know what to do and what not to do to take stupid action so that they can come down hard on them and other people likewise. That was the point I was trying to make earlier when I said that people need to be aware and cognizant of what's going on because we don't want to be drawn out into situations where innocent people get hurt. And that's what our enemies want us to do. They want to destroy us, and they're looking for every opportunity. That was the point I was making.
Good. Well, great. Thank you. Yeah. I think anytime they plaster anything all over mainstream media, it's just some kind of programming going on.
I wouldn't be surprised when Herod sent his little hordes out to kill all those little kids in the Herod Times, was that what it was called? The Herod Times? He probably said, you know, yeah, this evil militia is after us.
Yeah.
You know, they come up with just off-the-wall stuff. I think they jack it up to put fear in people. It's stupid. I mean, I don't condone going out committing violent acts and, that's Yahweh's vengeance is his, not mine, ours. He will recompense.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys filling me in on that because I found it a little disconcerting today. So it's also Passover this weekend, and I'm still unclear as to what I'm supposed to do. Sit down, have a little meal by myself, or
And, you know what can you do? Eli's going to have a service on Saturday night.
Oh, cool!
Eli will have a Passover. So I mean, I'll be there, but I'm the first guy to admit that I'm not one for conducting services and things like that. I'm just not. Eli's gonna. He has a lot more experience with that, and I'm sure he'll do a much better job.
Well, I think he did it last year, if memory serves me correct.
I'm being honest with you. I don't remember. I mean, I was doing the programs with him already at that time last year, the Saturday program. Maybe it was on a Sunday, though.
I don't remember, but I do remember him doing a service.
Okay. No, that's good. I can't remember offhand. I really can't. But Eli will do a Passover service Saturday.
Well, our Bible study group is going to do a Passover service, not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday. And
okay, Greg's saying that Eli's service last year was on a Sunday. That's why I don't remember it. I mean, I was probably there for it, but it wasn't, you know, during the Friday or Saturday programs I do with them.
I'm going to invite Frenchman so he can bring his homemade whiskey.
That sounds like a headache. I'm sorry. I don't think I've had whiskey in 30 years, fortunately.
I was just reading the chat room.
25 years. I don't think I'll ever drink whiskey again either. It's much better to have as many brain cells as you can retain, I think. Okay, let's not all talk at once.
Well, I was hoping some other people would call in.
Yeah, well, evidently that's not going to happen, and I got mad and muted James, but...
I think you should unmute him now.
I should unmute James? I don't know. That's he keeps on wanting to take these beasts and make Christians out of them. I don't...
Yeah, I almost drove off the road in my semi-truck that one night, Bill.
I'll be nice and I'll ask him where he's been because he hasn't been here. And I haven't seen him at all on the programs in a couple of months. James.
I'm with him.
Yeah, I'm here.
Where have you been, James? I haven't seen you in months.
Well, one of my months I had 4,000 and some odd minutes and I can only do so much. I can't even keep up with EB. I don't know if you know him or like him. Preston EB, I'm so far behind on his newsletter.
I never heard of him.
Well, he has some damn good stuff, I think, whatever. Whatever. You're not interested in him anyway.
How do you know?
Well, you whatever. I don't want to argue with you. I'm just listening to you guys.
I'm not here to argue. I didn't
mean
to argue with you.
And just like that Dan Gaiman, I've got so many of his 6 or 9 or 10 his magazines. Or
how do you know I dislike Dan Gaiman?
I didn't. I didn't say you did. Bill, everything I say, you take it wrong. Whether it's Little Richard or who the hell it is. Hey, I can't help it. Hey, just like I, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, oh, this is
now,
bad,
let me
too.
Tell you, James, let me say, and we're all guilty of this to a certain point, but the Jews beat us because we adopted their language.
Hey, I just listen and try to learn. And
but
I sure as hell don't know all the answers. You know a hell of a lot more than I do.
We're just not guarded enough about our language, that's all.
Well, I look
probably
up
our biggest fault, the biggest fault of our race is that what we cave in to the media perverting our language.
Hell,
like
I don't
calling,
doubt that either.
Like calling sexual deviants gay. That's a horrible thing because the word gay used to be a good word.
I know. I'm 71 going on 72. I know a few things.
Yep.
So who's Preston Eby?
Oh, boy. Well, okay. Well,
I know who Dan Gaiman is, but I never heard of Preston Eby.
Okay, well, hang on a second here. Let me. I've got it right here handy. I'll give you the address or whatever. Hang on.
Well, as far as that psychobabble of Jewish, you know, our language, Bill.
Yes.
The thing is, they've been in control of all these universities and college probably before the Frankfurt School. Probably
oh,
back.
Right. I agree with that. It did begin before the Frankfurt School, but the Frankfurt School was just a very radical manifestation, and they actually did. Yeah, you know, Frankfurt School professors actually taught a lot of the 60s radicals directly.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a much, yeah, you know, but it, there was a very subtle, subtle and long, extended shift in academia towards the radical left long before the Frankfurt School.
Yes, sir.
I don't know when it can probably be dated to the 1890s and the purchase by the Wall Street bankers of a lot of seats in academia in the various universities.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The division of breaking down the fragmentation of society of a racial cohesive group into fragmentary squabbling little chickens that think they're little individuals when in fact we're you know it's kind of like they really build a false consciousness called I call it a Judified mind, not a justified mind. And so I could Judify anything I want because I'm an individual, but a real individual is really totally undivided and cohesive with his kinfolk, especially his creator. But then what they do is they break us down into all these little stupid little churchianity groups.
Right, but we have to train ourselves to unjudify our minds.
Totally. Well, Yahweh does that with our cooperation and our repentance and our total turning away from our self-absorption, because we're also damn self-absorbed with ourselves.
Yes, right. We have a high degree of self-absorption as a race.
Mm-hmm.
As individuals.
As so-called individuals, yes. If we were really indivisible as a race, we wouldn't have any Jews living in this country.
Well, right. Individualism is really antithetical to Christianity.
Obviously. Well,
and the Jew
obvious.
Promotes individualism all the time.
Yeah.
The whole star culture is Jewish in nature.
And the lingua franca of commercialism, consumerism, propaganda, all the Judified education from when we're very young. I mean, they get us while we're young, but we can boot them while we're old too. But it takes every bit of our energy. We can't be half mediocre, mediocre going up halfway up to not. I'm talking to myself, not because.
I'm listening,
process.
Bruce. I mean, I'm sure we're listening to you. You're not talking
process.
To yourself.
But I'm saying it's not unique to each one of us. But they try to think that we're all somehow so special. So, we get into this masturbation mode of seeking out our own salvation with fear and trembling with a Jew Jesus. And we're really going to be Jew then, right?
That's what they want. They create an individual among us so that they can divide us easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it boils down to. And the Christian model is to live for one's brethren and not for oneself.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And we're constantly told that in the New Testament. To live to serve your brethren.
Yeah.
And
they
way you serve God.
Yeah. And bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh is not a sexual connotation. And they've made it into one.
Well, right. It's an absolutely racial connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Greg.
Hi, Bill.
Good to hear from you.
Brothers.
Hi, Greg.
How you doing? You know, I had a couple thoughts on the whole racial topic. I marvel that the Jew has been so successful in corrupting our way of thinking toward other races. that we'll sit around, and I'm guilty of it too, and we'll sit there and argue, can other races be saved? Can other races be Christians? You know, when in reality, there's so little mention of the other races in the Bible, and not even just the Bible, but all the apocryphal books. The whole thrust of all the divine revelation is Israel and the 12 tribes. And that, you know, our focus leaves that to go and argue about the other races, you know, and it seems like we just play right into the hands of Jews when we do that. I don't know, the more I read and learn in the scripture, the more it's just so clear to me that there's really only one group of people on this planet that matters, you know. And whatever their destiny is, it personally to me, I don't feel any non-Israelite, true Israelite, can be among the elect of Yahweh. This is too clear that cannot happen. They cannot become the elect by praying their little prayer or carrying their Bible to their church. I mean, if you're not born into the genetic seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then it's just not going to be for you. That's it. It's quite simple. Black and white, literally. So, but I don't know. It's just interesting how race is so confused in our current generation. And without a doubt, it's best by design. You know, I really believe that the Jew has used race as a weapon against us in multiple ways. Not just to, you know, the way they physically attack you if you go to the wrong part of town, but even our whole way of thinking and how race is just so stirred up in every aspect of our life now. You know, it's incredible. You turn on the TV, you look at any print advertisement, and it's just one big giant racial mix everywhere you look. Just race is everywhere, you know, the races, the mixing of the races. Such a devilish plan, but so effective to bring down Yahweh's people. It's like it waters us down to be surrounded by these other races. It drives me crazy, but, you know, it's like that show that we did last week in out of Jeremiah 31, sowing the house of Israel with the seed of man and the seed of beast. I mean, we are living in that moment right now, and it's just the way it has to be. It's part of our judgment.
Now, this is odd. Oh, well, Greg, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Other people tend to think differently still, but I'm in complete agreement.
Yeah, we are just in a time of judgment, and it's almost like we're not designed to be around these other races. They shouldn't be here. It's clear. They should not be here. I think all of us would have an inner testimony that we are not designed or born to be surrounded by other races. It's just not right. We sense it in ourselves, yet we find ourselves in that situation right now. You know, and I think we covered that pretty well the other day, that it was Yahweh's providence. It was his plan that it had to be that way for our judgment. And we are being sown with the seed of beast, you know. So it's a hard thing to go through, but I guess we got it coming to us. We have to go through it. I don't like it, though. I really don't.
No, of course we don't, but we know why we have to do it. I mean, knowledge is a curse sometimes, right? Ignorance really is bliss sometimes. It
yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way, but you're right. To see it for what it is, and all of us have friends that are, you know, really white sheeple that just kind of go through their life and, you know, don't really see anything around them and refer to blacks as African Americans and just don't have a clue what's happening in the world. And they seem happy. So occasionally,
right. But
for a moment, I envy them, but not much.
That's why real Christians are told to hate the world, and that's why we know that what we have is true.
Right. I believe we hate the situation around us when we see it. Just like it talks about in Matthew, where it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I didn't used to know what that meant, but now I'm pretty clear that what he's talking about there is mourning what they look around them and see, the
absolutely.
Age they're living
that's what
in.
I believe. Absolutely, that's what I believe.
You know, that's what they're mourning, the fallen situation of the satanic kingdom that surrounds them. because the kingdom of Yahweh is not yet manifest here. Surely it will be. That time is coming. But for now, this is the kingdom of Satan, and we're living in it. So that is what we are mourning. And Yahweh's promise is that we will be comforted. But we're living in the time of mourning. You know, it's I don't know. You see all these Christians, fake Christians, that walk around with super joy and joy, always talking about joy. That used to really bug me because I didn't have it that much, you know. But Yahweh said we should, blessed are the mourners. And I think that's who the real kingdom elect are, those who see this situation and it puts them in a state of mourning, in a state of prayer for Yahweh's kingdom to be manifest here, you know. Of course, your average white that goes to a denominational church has no concept of really what even to pray for. You know, they don't understand the situation around them. They don't really know how to pray or what to pray for. You know, they're praying for the conversion of the Africans, probably. You know?
Well, they teach them to say ooga booga and run around and shout. That's about all they do.
And take a quick dunk in the river and hope a crocodile doesn't eat them when they're baptizing them. You know, it's pretty sad, really. It makes you mourn, even though I'm laughing. It's really something to mourn about. It's such a fallen situation. But I'll tell you, though, I do have great joy in that I'm with a group of saints, that, and it's a small group, and I mean us here on these internet talk show shows, the Christian Identity Gatherings, that realize who we are in this world. And it's a small group, you know. But it's a blessed group, and I'll tell you, the more I study the word, the more it's crystal clear to me, this whole genetic racial component of who are the elect in the world. It's a genetic thing, you know? It's not just a faith thing.
Well,
it's
absolutely,
very much
because genetic. It's the spirit that carries it's the genes that carry the ability to transmit the spirit from generation to generation.
Exactly.
And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says we are born a physical seed and raised a spiritual seed, which to me indicates fully that the transmission of the spirit that Yahweh gave to Adam is through the genetics. And okay. And when the genes become mixed with the other races, as Enoch tells us, that's the source of wicked spirits.
Yeah, Bill, what's that verse in, I think it's in Ephesians, where it says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I love the way it says bones. Bones is very real. It's no spiritual bones. It's very genetic.
What makes the blood.
Yeah.
Well, they can't be too, yes, bones actually, the blood is made in the bone marrow. That is true.
But my point was that salvation is a racial thing. And though we are reviled from every angle because of our bringing this up, it only reinforces to me that we have found the truth. And that, of course, it would be reviled. Why would it? It wouldn't be accepted by the world or by the other races. So, when they stand up against us and revile us, and call us all kinds of names and racists and bigots, I'll tell you, I feel blessed because I know that what we have is not some false doctrine. There's too many verses that make it clear to me. This is the truth, the great truth of Yahweh. And in that I find great joy, even though I mourn the situation around me. You know, I mourn that we can hardly ever get together in person as brethren, yet Yahweh's provided these shows, and that's a lot better than not getting together at all. So I appreciate this kind of fellowship.
Amen, Greg. Hey, you know, in the old days, our forefathers, the prophets, the kinsmen of Yahweh, who were ruling with him, the Christians, our Christian fathers, long time ago, from Adam, wait, give me one moment here. It's getting... Oh... Crazy always, but I forgot what I was going to say.
It's all right. It'll come back.
Well, Greg, I have to agree with you. CI is the ultimate red pill. I'm telling you,
incredible.
You'll never there ever been a defector, someone that's gone from CI back to Judeo-Christianity? Not one. Not one.
Well, I had an argument with a clown one night on Mike Delaney's channel that that was CI and claimed to be CI anyway for 2 years and became a pagan instead. And boy, did he go berserk when I explained to him that that Hitler was a first. I explained to him that Hitler was a Christian and thought the pagans were clowns, and he went absolutely berserk. And then I told him that paganism is basically the ancient Canaanite religion, and he went berserk again. It was funny. It was good.
Well, I don't think he really grasped the truth then. Well, he may have it didn't grasp him, because there's no way that I could ever go back and see this any other way now. No way.
Yeah,
I know
what... Everybody I know that's a defector from identity is somebody that found out they had some cut in them. That they found out they had a great-grandfather that was a Puerto Rican or something crazy, or a Jew or a Cuban, or they found an Indian in a wood pile, or well, whatever. That for one reason or another, they found out that they really didn't belong. And those people usually are the most vile critics of identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that happen a few times.
Yeah, Bill, it makes sense that would be this thing that would get them out. Because, I mean, if you're the elect of Yahweh, then you're the sheep that really hears his voice. And to me, and I know you'll agree with this, finding this faith is hearing the voice of Yahweh. And if you hear this voice and leave, then there's a strong argument that you were never one of his sheep.
Right.
Those
you probably don't
belong to hear the voice, follow him.
So good riddance. Okay,
yeah.
Greg, I'm sorry. Your verse is Ephesians 5:30.
5:30. Do you have it in front of you? Can you read it?
And I couldn't find it at first because in my translation it only says, because we are members of his body. That's it. And that's the best manuscripts. Sorry.
Is it? Okay. All right.
Well, I'm let you down. Now the King James says, well, we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And let me look. I've got the NA27 here. And I'm going to look it up just to see why my translation leaves out of his flesh and of his bones.
I must have been reverting back to my...
Well, no, you were reading the King
James.
I mean, I still remember a lot of verses from the King James, not from my own translation. I ain't going to lie. That's the way it is. I mean, this King James is, you read that a dozen times, and yet, you know, it's when you first read the Bible, you're very impressionable, and it basically presses itself into your head. That's what sticks, you know. Okay, of his flesh and of his bones is not in the second century P46. It's not in the Sinaiticus, the Alexandrinus, or the Vaticanus, the 5th century O48. It is in the Codex Bizei and the majority text. And it's in Irenaeus and in some Latin and Syriac manuscripts. But if it's not in the oldest Greek manuscripts, it's not my translation. That's the way it is.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
That's why I was looking through my translation. I figured bones is only in the New Testament three or four times, right? Well,
well, I think it would be encouraging. I remember what I was going to say. The our Christian forefathers in the Old Testament, like Elijah, the Jezebel bitch with all of her Canaanite priests. They were probably calling Elijah a hater, a racist, a whitey. They probably used the same language, well, of course, in a different, you know, language, but they probably used the same terms our forefathers long ages ago. I wouldn't be surprised. Would you?
Oh, I'm sure that the true Israelites in 1000 B.C. were probably called haters, yes.
Yeah, the same.
Those who sought to keep the law all through time, the law of God, were probably
mm-hmm.
considered haters. I'm sure.
Yeah.
History repeats itself.
Yeah. Well, when I was living in Washington, I had this big rat get in my house. I had a nice house up in Washington. This big, huge rat got in the house. And I chased that damn thing around the house for three and a half days. One night I woke up and this big rat was on the little daughter there, nibbling his fingers right next to me. And I just looked at it, and this rat must have weighed, oh, it was about half size of Jocko, Joe. And not to compare Jocko with a rat.
Thank you.
No, no, I love you, Joe. You know I'm joking.
Jocko just ran out of the room.
Oh, no. No, I don't think. But this thing was huge, and it was nibbling its fingers. And, you know, I chased that thing around the house for 3.5 days. Finally, I just, you know, like Popeye said, I've had enough. You know, I got my spinach out and got guts. So I went out downstairs and got a big iron rod. And I just was determined I'm going to kill this rat. And finally cornered it in the kitchen. And I just whacked it like a baseball bat, blood all over, splattered all over the kitchen. You know, there was something in me that I had this little slight tinge of sympathy for that damn thing. And that was a lesson, you know. Give no quarter to the enemy, you know. I mean, I'm talking inwardly, you know, and feeling sympathy for these other races. We, you know, the love of Yahweh is not the love of the world. There's no relationship. Period. We got to receive the full blow of Yahweh, what Yahshua Christ did for us on the cross. The hell with all these other.
Well back to the keepers of the law being the hate mongers. Guest 15 said that would make Daniel a hater too, and I replied in the chat just now that is why the race of Cain is responsible for the blood of all the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same pattern today. It's no different. Those who espouse the word of Yahweh are going to be persecuted by the enemies of Yahweh.
And that enmity was put there by Yahweh.
Yes, it was. Patricia wants a gardening show since spring is here.
I think all the people, there's a lot of really great gardeners.
Well, I elect cannabis can save us to do the gardening show. What do you think?
That's great, Bill. He'd probably be right up to speed on that.
Think that'll be a one-track show or what?
Are we going to let him choose the plants?
Of course we are. It'll be his show.
Might have a couple hundred people call into that one. You never know.
Well, no, I think it's good for people to share tips and things like that. There are probably gardening shows on Talkshow. Check them out. Oh, good. Pitch 15. Check them out for us. Just, it's important. I mean, I know MacDog's got, you know, acres, it sounds like to me, growing in the greenhouse already and getting that ready. Bill, you had a disastrous season last year.
Absolutely. I got...
Deer.
We got two tomatoes from 16 plants.
Yeah.
Everybody
last year was
up here,
horrible.
Everybody up here,
my plants didn't even... I didn't get two. They just... The rain killed them.
Right. Every one of our tomato plants got blight. And this year I'm going to put nothing but, and I had 18 pepper plants last year too, and I two of them were hot pepper plants, and I got two or three peppers out of it, and 16 of them were bell pepper plants, you know, and I had red and yellow and green, and I got two or three peppers out of them, and it was the rain and the overcast for the entire growing season. It was overcast. The tomatoes got blight. The peppers never grew. They started to grow in October, and I was nursing a couple. I was nursing actually four or five of them, and they were pickable and edible almost. You know, they weren't quite the size of maybe a tomato, the peppers. And I figured they might get a little bigger if the weather holds out another 2 weeks. But the first frost came real bad. They turned black the next morning. They were gone. So I couldn't even get any decent peppers. We got a lot of squash, though. We got a lot of beets. We got a lot of carrots, a lot of beans, and a lot of squash last year. I have no complaints in any of those departments. But 16 tomato plants and 16 pepper plants down the tubes.
Well, I'd recommend for all the gardeners to look into a product called Biochar. The one that I'm really all fired up with is called NutriCarb. And but the man that developed that, it has brilliant books on it. I mean, the two books about that are amazing. It's called The Carbon Cycle and The Carbon Connection. Two of the most interesting books I've ever read. And it actually can neutralize the pesticides in the soil, put the soil back to healthy, you know, with them splitting all the pesticides and stuff that they use. Every time they split those molecules, they make the pesticide more deadly, and that makes the weeds more virulent. Like, they've got 30-foot weeds now. You have to take them down with a chainsaw. I mean, just because of the terrible pesticides they put on, we are way past due for a very, very serious famine, given the Monsanto nonsense and all the bad farming practices by ignoring Yahweh's law on farming. And so it behooves us. I live in the desert now. I've got to find, you know, a way to garden here somehow. You know, we need to be more self-sufficient, no question. In this biochar stuff, I called Acres USA because that was the president of Acres USA is who wrote one of the books when Leonard Ritson died. And it's just, that's kind of taken over for NutriCarb. And it's a carbon product that puts the carbon back in the soil. And so, like, in the desert, I could use that here, and it would make the soil hold water again and raise plants, you know, correctly. So it could really help, you know.
Well, all that stuff is great, but no matter how good your soil is, the primary ingredient that we did not have here last year was frost-free sunny days. And without that ingredient, you're not going to get anything. I'm sorry, no matter how good your soil is.
Absolutely not. You have to have sun. It's no question.
And we had a whole stretch in July and August where I don't think I saw the sun three times. It was incredible. It was overcast and rainy every day.
I remember.
And that's a perfect, that's a perfect storm for gardening. It just ain't happening.
Patricia, are the guys aware of the deal that you found out about the heart and also that wand thing that they've got in England about fighting cancer?
No, I don't think so. And that wand thing seems to me, you know what, I've got to go. I'm getting a call from my boss, so I never like to put him on hold, and I'll be back in a little bit.
Okay, great.
Hey, Bill, I'm ready here. Let's get this over with. You got a pencil there, I guess, I'm sure. Okay, Kingdom Bible Studies. Teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Do they have a website?
Well, I know they're on the website. I don't have it here, but it's on there. My son-in-law, he found it. J. Preston Eby, P.O. Box 371-240, El Paso, Texas, 799-37, 1240.
How do you spell EB?
EBY. Okay, and then another one here. I don't know if you've heard of these guys.
Don't worry about it. I already got them. I already got them on the
Well, internet. This is a different one.
I already got J. Preston EB, on the internet.
Oh, okay. Well, here's another one. Here's another. People I like, Our Place Fellowship, 3912 Cedar Creek Road, Colville, Washington, 99114. Their phone number here, 509-732-4268. I've been getting their CDs. I like it. It's their identity. Anyway, check them out. And I'm sure
they're
on it.
They don't have a website.
They don't?
Nope. 3912 Cedar Creek Road, Colville, Washington, 99114-9194.
They don't have a website?
Nope.
Huh. Well, anyway, they give you CDs. Both of them are free, whether it's EB or the other one. I sent them both money, but, 'cause nothing's free. but they don't ask you for anything.
Well, you know, it's hard to find free in the world today. That's absolutely true.
Nothing's free except Yahweh, Yahshua.
Well, I would say if you have a computer, you could download every MP3, every audio tape, and everything I ever wrote for free. So I would say nothing's free. I mean,
oh, I hear you.
Everything Clifton ever wrote is on the website for free. All of Eli's programs are on the website for free. I mean, there's a lot of Christian. You know, you go to Alan Campbell's website and you got to pay $1.50 to download an MP3 file. To download one sermon, you got to pay $1.50. I think that's crazy.
All a ripoff. People after money. All they care about is that money. They don't care about you, unless you pay them.
Oh, this Preston Eby's website is horrible.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, the front
he's page, in his 80s.
The front page is nice. It's a nice-looking page. You know, but when you click on an article, what you get is a big white page with black print, and it's real wide, and that's just horrible.
All I know is he's very deep into the – well, this – okay, I didn't tell you this part. Now, I've been getting this for years, okay, and what it says, from the candlestick to the throne, part 96, the four winds of judgment, on this one here I just opened up. And I'm so far behind. But anyway, it's when I first started listening to it, from the candlesticks to the throne, that was the same thing back way back. And like I said, this is part 96 over, you know, I get about once a month or whatever.
I just wondered what you were reading, James. Now I'm looking at it. Thank you.
I don't even have time to read it. I can't even keep up with the American Free Press and the Idaho Observer. In fact, I told what's her name, that lady that runs the thing, and she said I owe again. And I just told her I'm going to have to quit because I can't even keep up with all this other stuff. No sense in keeping and getting more and more stuff if you can't even read it.
EB's site is www.godfire.net, if anybody's interested. I'll paste it into the forum. I don't know what his
core
messages yet, but
I wish people would check it out. I don't know. I like it. He seems like he's very deep. He's about 90 years old.
Time Revelation.
He's about 90 years old, and he's... He and his wife and daughter or something try to run the whole thing, I think.
Okay. I was just curious.
No, that's okay. I hope you like it. It's not Little Richard.
I don't know.
He's a white boy.
Martin, how you doing?
Never better. How you doing?
Good. Great. Wonderful. Thank you. What you got for us tonight?
Not much. Keeping busy. Actually, something interesting happened the other day. There was a... Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, there's some sort of ringing.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
That's
hello.
Patricia's answering her phone, and it's us.
I'm sorry. I'm answering my phone. I didn't know why it said unavailable. I got to go, everybody. God bless.
Bye.
See you next time.
Love
bye.
You.
Bless you.
Anyways, locally, about 2 months ago, there was a incident at a local middle school where they actually had Kick a Jew Day.
Oh. I remember reading about that. That was in Cleveland or something.
No, Naples, Florida.
Naples. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Naples, Florida.
Yeah. Actually, it was a couple blocks away from where I live, actually.
That's right. A friend of mine in Panama City sent me something about that.
And the thing is that they when they put the story on the local newspaper website, it kept on changing a little bit. And there's a couple of people, you know, who were saying, you know, what's going on, you know, why do you keep on changing it? And the story that they put out on the TV was a little bit sketchy. And so the other day, they put a story in the paper about how now the school board is going to have diversity training. They're going to see how they can, further help minorities to go further, and there's going to be more money allocated. There's going to be sensitivity training, and also they're going to be bringing in, they're going to be forming a board that's going to be made up of local groups from different diversities, and also they want to throw in people with sensitivity to different sexual orientations and all this other stuff. So you can respond to the story at the end. So I said, maybe a better title for this article would be Zionist Thought Police Set to Molest Children in Local Public Schools.
Yeah.
And of course, all the Jews and Bleeding Heart Liberals and everything else started jumping up and down, saying that was the most despicable thing they'd ever heard and everything else.
Because they can't stand the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great, you know, when you hit them with a shot of truth and they get all worked up about it.
No, it never ceases to amaze me how any other race is allowed to gather and celebrate their heritage and have get-togethers that only their race can attend. And if our race wants to do any of that, we are instantly shouted down as the worst kind of racists. I'm not the only one that goes crazy when they see that double standard.
See what happens to you in prison when you promote your race.
Yeah. Yeah, outnumbered by, 70 to 71.
Well, that's why they had to put...
Hello?
Bruce?
Huh.
Oh, well, we lost Bruce. He's still in the chat.
The rapture.
Hey, did anyone
he went up in the rapture?
No, I shouldn't say that, because the rapture's for the bad ones, not the good ones. But, of course it makes perfect sense why our race would be shouted down and forbidden to gather and celebrate our heritage. You know, even though I hate that aspect of the life here, you know, how else could it be with the enmity against us? It has to be that way. And again, Bill, I think it goes back to the seed of our house of Israel being sown with the seed of beast. I mean, it's just one more facet of that we cannot get together as a race and celebrate our divine heritage. You know, it's
well, right.
Just,
and that's
allowed.
Exactly what we're undergoing right now.
That's it. And we chafe under that because we have an inner desire to get together in groups and praise Yahweh in large groups. And, you know, we would do that if we could, but it's like we're not allowed to currently. It's part of our judgment. So I guess we should be thankful we have these small groups that we can get together and praise Yahweh, 15, 20, 30 of us at a time from around the world. It's a lot better than not getting together at all, that's for sure.
Well, yes, it is. Absolutely. It's good to have one way or another to stay in contact.
But I'm almost, I'm at the point where I just say, screw them. If anyone wants to start anything, let them try.
You know, hey, Bill, along this line of what we're talking about, why we are not allowed to gather, why our race is under a judgment, and how this current situation is really just the judgment of Israel's sin and rebellion against Yahweh. I've been reading and studying lately in 3 Enoch, the Hebrew book of Enoch, and Enoch gets into that exact kind of thing where there's a vision in heaven where the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are praying before Yahweh. And they're praying before Yahweh for Yahweh to manifest his kingdom in the world to deliver Israel. And he says his response to them is, looking here, let's see. He says, then the Holy One answered every one of them, saying, since these wicked, and he's talking about Israel, since these wicked do sin so-and-so and transgress with such-and-such transgression against me, how could I deliver with my great right hand in the downfall by their hands? And he goes on to talk about how they don't obey the law and that they have to go through all the judgment and that they, at that current time, they cannot be delivered because of their sin and the transgression of the law. And it shows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob weeping in heaven. And it's a very touching scene. It's in chapter 44 of 3 Enoch. And even Michael, the archangel, the prince of Israel, begins to cry and weep and pray to Yahweh on why is he standing so far off from Israel. But it's our sin. It's the sin of Israel, the rebellion. And, you know, I guess in the final age, it's just extra bad. I mean, look at how few of us there seem to be, you know?
Well, right. And like I tried to say at the beginning of this program, it's not only the sin that we commit, and many of us aren't doing any such thing, but it's the sin that we've accepted. We've accepted these things to go on in our society, and these preachers and Hollywood push these things down our throat, and these schools, and we've accepted it all. And,
yep.
And most people bob their heads up and down and go home and forget it. And the sin is like a cancerous tumor. It grows. It grows on the community. And nobody takes a stand against it. So we fall into punishment. That's the way it is.
Yeah. It's a hard
right,
thing.
Like Frenchman says, we've learned to live with it. And we shouldn't live with it. Even in the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, the stranger that is in thy land, he will celebrate thy Sabbath. The strangers had to live by the laws of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Or they went. They either lived by the law, if they were in that land selling something or working or whatever they were doing, they had to live by the law too. And if they didn't like it, they're gone. They're out. Beat it. Scram. And most of those strangers were fellow Adamic people.
I was hoping you would get to that.
well, yeah. I mean, Israel was surrounded with Adamic nations.
Well, yeah.
Egypt was an Adamic nation. Persia, Assyria, Syria to the north, they were all Adamic, fellow Adamic nations. The
yeah.
stranger is in thy land. He will celebrate thy Sabbath. So when aliens come here, they must live by our laws or leave. And we've said, no, oh, no, they could do what they want. Oh, that's their culture. That's okay. Oh, those Jews could be fags all they want. No problem.
Yeah, we let everybody open a mosque, have one.
Yeah, they could have porno as long as I don't have to watch it. Then your kids are watching it in 5 years. Well, we've
yeah.
imposed this on ourselves as a people.
I remember when I was 19 when I first had a touch from Yahweh, but at the time I fell into churchianity for many years, and anyways, I did manage to build an 8-foot-tall cross and go to downtown San Francisco and put it right in the queer spaces. And they were just standing there kissing each other, being queers. And then I went to a Grateful Dead concert and was passing out flyers. But, you know, I mean, it's that.
Oops, sorry about that.
In German.
That was my speakers. I clicked on the wrong computer on they call me Kaiser, put a YouTube video in there and I have to get that link. I have to get it on my other computer though.
Yeah, it's interesting what's going on in California right now that they're getting ready to try and legalize marijuana and set everybody to sleep even further.
Hey, Vince, you brought that up about California. I just found out a couple of days ago down in Southern California, you can't have lead 22s, probably any, you know, any kind of ammo, whatever. And now, as of 1st of July, I think, up here in Northern California, you can't have any. If you get caught with a lead 22 bullet, like, you're in trouble.
Why lead?
They're just out. Well, they're out to get all the guns and everything. And, you know, it's just,
it's on and on. Pierces.
What?
It's a steel that pierces, right?
Say that again?
Sure. It's when you put the steel in the round that it's capable of piercing things.
Well, they're after the lead. You know, they're after they want everything. But I'm just saying it's getting worse every day. This is a communist state, no doubt about it. I wish I could get out of here, but I can't.
Same everywhere.
I'd rather be up in Montana, but I don't think I could handle the cold.
Yeah, actually, another thing that was going on was that there's this other guy. This guy, he calls him, who's a rabbi in the paper, who I've had a couple arguments with. That, you know, he's trying to say that he was a descendant of the Levitical priest and all this other stuff. I was telling, you know, look, there's no way in hell. And
father of the liar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's hilarious. And just, you know, calling him on all this trash. Pretty funny. And another thing is that when you see people who are arguing, when you see whites who are arguing with Jews and with others, it's like they can argue up to a point, and then they have to stop because they don't have the rest of the answers that we have in CI. But they don't have, you know, the whole answers as far as the dual seed line and everything else.
Oh, they don't even understand that, most
yeah, exactly.
People out there.
Exactly. So they don't, you know, it's like they're unarmed.
Well, from what we've, you know, been talking about for several months, this some you beat your brains out. Some people, until Yahweh wants them to see it, they're not meant to see it, I guess. I just got to get where they, if as long as they got their beer and watch their football, everything's fine.
Yeah. March Madness with a bunch of monkeys jumping down, up and down the court.
Right, it's terror, and people worship it.
Oh yeah,
and they don't realize that's idolatry. That is idolatry. They go to church on Sunday, and then they sit and watch they watch that on TV for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
Bill, I was going to say it's fornication, but fornication and idolatry are really you can't separate the two. You know, it's hard to separate them. They always go one with the other, it seems.
Well, right. And remember, Judah married the daughter of a strange god.
Right.
When you cohabit or commune with the other races, you're cohabiting and communing with the children of strange gods.
That's how it is.
And that's not to say that there are other gods, but the other races are the children of idols.
Right.
And that's both literal and figurative.
Yeah, and most of our people are if they're not race mixing, they're enabling race mixing. They're, you know, meeting with those who do, and
they're blind.
Well, right, and that can be taken one step further, because Paul talks about the people that gave into the worshiping of angels in Colossians 2. The
mm-hmm.
angels that sinned are responsible for all of the world's false religions. They also
right.
mix their seed with every kind. They were the idols that the other races worship.
Yep.
And they're the offspring of the other races.
That's why they're all polytheistic.
Absolutely. Good night, McBride. And that's why the Israelite dispersion were polytheistic, because they followed after those religions of the other races.
Mm-hmm.
The gods of Canaan.
Someone was making a connection between the seven archangels and the seven the seven lamps of the lampstand. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I guess an angel is a messenger, and a messenger could be a light bearer if it's in a sense. So there might be a correlation there. I wouldn't doubt it, but I haven't studied it. I wouldn't make a doctrine out of it. I don't know if there's enough, material available on the topic.
I was looking through this book earlier today, and people talk about it wasn't Moses that came out with the first law; it was Hammurabi. But the thing is it was brought up on an earlier show was that there were laws that were given to Abraham. That are spoken of in Genesis.
Well, right. The Levitical law wasn't the first law in history,
yeah.
But the Bible doesn't say it is.
Yeah.
Where does the Bible say it's the first law? Yeah, maybe the dumbass Christians, so-called Judeo-Christians, and the Jews claim it's the first law, but the Bible doesn't. And you're right. Genesis chapter 25. Abraham followed Yahweh's statutes, laws, and judgments, right?
Yeah,
and evidently there were other, but the Levitical law was the first law given to Israel. It's not the first law.
Yeah, the first law was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
No, when Mount Sinai event is like 1500 BC, and the creation of Adam, according to the Septuagint chronology, is 5400 BC. So you have 39 years of Adamic history, 3900 years of Adamic history. Up to and before Mount Sinai. That's a lot of history there that we really don't know that much about.
And also there was a... So Abraham came out of Ur.
Well, that's not his homeland, but that's where he was when he was called. Ur the Chaldees.
And
a city in Babylonia,
and which was in how long or around what time was that in relation to Nimrod?
Well, the Masoretic chronology is a bastardized chronology. It's no good, and the Septuagint chronology and Clifton on Clifton Emmerhauser's website, you'll see some charts comparing the two. And Nimrod's probably 800 years before Abraham.
But probably
and the first Babylonian empire was probably Nimrod's empire. That's the Cushite empire of Mesopotamia.
So it says that he was
which was called Cush, and which the Greek writers called the Ethiopia of the East, which corresponds with the Hebrew use of the word Cush in the Bible.
Now, which writers call that the Ethiopia of the East?
The Greek writers called it that. Herodotus called it that. Homer called it that. The Ethiopia of the East.
Because that brings to mind the whole thing about Moses and
Well, right. The Ethiopia of the East was the first Cushite empire, was what archaeologists call the first Babylonian empire. Cush was the land, all the land of that empire encompassed was called Cush by the early Hebrews, and that stretched from the Indus River all the way to Saudi Arabia, up to what we know as the Sinai. And Moses went right into Arabia and got himself a wife to the land of Cush, which is what they called that empire. And the Ethiopia to the south of Egypt was really just a colony of that empire. That's all it was. That's how it was founded. And the all the land of the first Babylonian Empire was the land of Cush in the Bible at that time.
Would that
later
have been,
on, it wasn't called the land of Cush because that empire disintegrated into various nation states and tribal states.
Would that have included the Pandamaran area still?
Well, that was incorporated into the Babylonian Empire, yes, to that era.
Okay.
But remember that Abraham's wife was, you know, and his father-in-law were called several things in the Bible, and they're not all racial. That, you know, she was in the land of Cush. She was a Kenite. Jethro was a Kenite. Jethro was a Midianite. Now,
yeah.
If you really study the scripture, his racial identification should have been with the tribe of Midian. He was actually a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. Now, good night, Frenchman. Now, if you look at where he lived in a section of the country that was inhabited by the Kenites, so he became a Kenite geographically, and he was actually, that section of that country was part of the Empire of Cush, which is the empire that Nimrod founded, and that made him, an inhabitant of the land of Cush at that time. A few hundred years later, that wasn't the land of Cush anymore because the first Babylonian Empire fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you really have to understand a lot of history and look at how these geographical terms are used in the Bible at the time in the historical context.
A lot of those words probably developed into English, too, like, you know, you have a Cush chop. Who knows?
Oh, I don't know if I go that far.
Oh, I don't know either. But there's a lot of... how did you pronounce that Cush in the Hebrew? Would you know offhand? I'm just curious.
Well, no, I wouldn't, because I just wasn't around back then. I'm sorry.
Maybe you were. You just don't know it.
Wherever you see Ethiopia in the Bible, though, the word is Cush. And that, you know, that would explain Genesis chapter 1, where the rivers encircled the entire land of Cush, of Ethiopia, it's called in the King James. And that's not the Ethiopia in Africa, because it's talking mm-hmm. about Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
And it's talking about the Cush at that time was the empire of Nimrod.
Yeah. Well, understanding that words themselves, in a lot of cases, the verbal expressions are not what they're pointing at. That's basically what you're
Well,
saying.
It's not what we perceive they're pointing at.
Any idea how it went from Mesopotamia to Africa?
Well, it makes sense to me. I can't prove it. Except by a couple of old myths, but it makes sense to me that the Babylonians, the Empire of Cush, probably, which the Greeks called Ethiopia, okay, probably founded a colony in Africa that the Hebrews also knew as Cush, which was south of Egypt, which the prophets prove that was also known as Cush, which the Greeks also called Ethiopia. But we have to remember that Ethiopia is only the Greek names for these places. And the Greek name for the Ethiopia of Africa kind of stuck, right? But the Hebrew names were Cush. Moses went to Cush, he went to Mesopotamia. And later on, there's a Cush mentioned that's actually the area in Africa below Egypt. And the Greeks had two Ethiopias. And I would think that and I'm led to believe that the area in Africa below Egypt was a colony, an early colony of the Cushites in Mesopotamia. So it was called after the same name, Cush. And for that reason, the Greeks called them both Ethiopia. But in early Greek writings, Memnon was a famous Ethiopian, and he was from the Ethiopia of the East. And he came to assist the Trojans in the war against the Danans. And he built Susa, which is the capital city of the Persians. The Greeks credited Memnon with all this and called him the king of the Ethiopians of the East. And he was definitely white. And Susa is a very, it's the capital city of Persia a couple of thousand years later. And that's Greek tradition, but it shows... The tradition and context shows that the Greeks absolutely perceived the Ethiopians to be white. I wrote about this at length in the Race of Genesis 10 paper on my site on Christogenia.
A quick question before I forget. Have you ever seen the statues with Abraham with horns, by any chance?
Well, that was Moses with horns.
Moses.
That was a medieval invention. And that was, I forget the word, but it was actually a misunderstanding of a particular word in prison. And I'm sorry, in scripture, in Exodus. It was a misunderstanding of a particular word, and I can't remember the word.
And don't
ask me why it reminded me of prison, but it's a misunderstanding of a particular word. And I can't remember the word, but it's the way that the, medieval Englishmen understood the Hebrew word that caused them to draw pictures of this, of Moses with horns.
Now, did they think that they had some evil?
No. There was no evil connotation there.
Okay.
There's no evil connotation there.
It looks pretty bizarre to have statues of Moses.
Well, right, it does, but it's a medieval English misunderstanding of a Hebrew word. Now, I'm almost
that led them to believe that
Moses had horns, right? Which is just crazy.
Okay.
And it wasn't Aaron Moses' brother?
Yes.
And he was the one who fashioned the bowl, the golden calf.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And maybe some of that paganism just got in there somehow and they put horns on those.
I don't think so.
No?
Darn, I can't remember the word. I really can't. Yeah, Clifton, I think, wrote about that one time. I really think he did early on in one of his earlier teaching letters.
It's one of that poor of God. Another thing was, I had a pretty good laugh last night. I was checking out some of that black Hebrew Israelite stuff.
Oh, please.
where they can't even, really verbalize what they're trying to say, let alone write it down. And you can see where the Jews helped them out with some of the propaganda and, it was hilarious.
I've listened to that a little bit, and I always wonder how they get around how all the angels are, especially in Enoch, they're talked about being white, and Noah was white, and, white is mentioned, and black is never mentioned ever in any kind of positive light. I always found that interesting, and yet they get on there and say that Yahweh was black. That's just too weird.
Well, we are children of him who sits on a great white throne. I don't know where it says black throne.
Yeah, and how there were blacks in Rome, and that the whitey came in and stole it all from them.
A lot of black cowboys.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. If you ever need a good laugh.
I put up with that garbage enough in prison for
that nation of domination BS. And
they have 75 IQs and they can be convinced of just about anything by a crafty Jew. that's what it boils down to.
Remember one time I was watching Jeopardy, and there was some black dude in the TV room. He said he was trying to tell that the reason why we had put that on was trying to put him down. The reason why we had put Jeopardy on. Pretty funny.
Yeah, I had a post on my forum early on when I started it that it was a black guy complaining that computers were made for white people and Chinese people to put blacks out of jobs because because they made them for smart people and blacks can't operate them. It was pretty funny.
Well, I tell you, once you can't count with your fingers and your toes anymore, it's out of business.
Oh, there's no doubt that they can't compete in society, so they're given every sort of advantage to our disadvantage, and they still can't compete. And we're elevating these people way above their level of capability. And it's harming society.
And you know what's another thing is that how the Jews have entrenched themselves not, you know, in all forms, in all the areas of academia, and that for instance, when I was in college, whenever they would have final exams for, you know, for the different semesters, it would be a Jewish holiday, where they would actually have an excuse that they were off that day, either it was, you know, Rosh Hashanah or, you know, whatever. But if you were a Christian, then, you know, you were expected to be there that day, and they could come in later and take it. All kinds of, you know, BS like that.
Yeah, well, it's part of our punishment. It's part of the plan. Hello, David. David's not listening.
I hear you.
Hello. How you doing? I thought maybe you had your phone muted or something.
No. I was listening to you and Eli today on your program from about a month ago. I went back and picked up those Galatian things when you were talking about that that bridge. The girl bent over at the end of the bridge, or Eli was telling. You remember that story about English tourism ad? And the girl walked across the bridge, and then the bridge raised. It was a lift bridge, and there was a sexual connotation there, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. I do kind of remember that vaguely.
Yeah, I was listening to your program. You're talking about you don't watch much television and football. And I, you know, I just had a picture of you and Eli, and what you bring to for clarification. To me, that's... That should be in a stadium. That should be televised. That should be broadcast all over the place. I see it that way. I mean, that's what it means to me.
Well, I appreciate it, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
Well, it might someday. I mean, people get the idea, or so to speak. You know, if they ever wake up to it and come alive, I don't know how you do it, but.
Well, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just sit here and repeat what I've read. That's all I do. I'm sorry.
No, when he comes a certain time, it's going to happen. But not like we think it's going to happen. That's all.
No, it probably won't. I mean, when the children, imagine the children of Israel fleeing Egypt across the desert, and they're They're pursued by the armies of Pharaoh, hundreds of thousands of chariots, whatever he had, horses, men, and all the might of the beast, right? And do you think that they really foresaw that the Red Sea would part and that Pharaoh's army would be drowned in it?
No,
of course not.
Yeah.
So how do we think we're going to see how the hell we're going to get out of this mess?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, does the kingdom
more people? It needs more people understanding that what we're doing is sort of waiting on it. You know, it's coming, but a lot of people don't believe it. Yeah, I mean, they don't know it, they don't understand it, they don't think about it. You know,
transact your business until I come.
Yeah,
that's what he told the apostles.
Say that again,
yeah.
Bill.
Transact your business until I come is what he told the apostles.
Keep on keeping on, right?
Well, right, basically.
Well, I've been doing it for a long time.
That's what he told the apostles, and everybody wants to resist that, but that's what
he told
the apostles. Occupy until I come is the way the King James translates it. But the word is basically, it means to transact your business. Go about your business until I come.
It'll happen. I like that thing you did on Tobin. You guys did a number on him where he's trying to do a number on the rest of the world. You know, that who is that, Tobin? That is he recent, writing a book about Paul and how the pillars and the rock?
Oh, yeah, that was something Eli was quoting. He was quoting that. Right.
Yeah, well, you guys were talking about all that and an exposition on that. How Tobin had written that was revelatory. That was really an eye opener. I heard it before, but it takes two or three listenings. It's like a college course listening to you guys talk. You know, it's more than you get in the college, I'm sure, because they're totally turning out preachers every day, and they don't know half what you're talking about. Most of them, anyway, I presume.
Hi, David.
That was good. Yeah, that was really, that was good. I made copies of those four everything you've done on Galatians. I thought Galatians really gets into it good for some reason for me. So I've copied those down for my buddy Mike, and he wanted to hear more. He says if it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. You know, he's kind of that ilk, but he's a listener. He's a thinker, so he wants to hear more of what you guys have to say. So I've made him an MP3. I got five of them. I guess you can put a bunch of them on one CD. You know,
I got the whole year last year on three CDs.
Really? An MP3?
I got my whole year last year. Everything I did last year from December 08 when I got home until the end of last year, I got on three CDs. Everything I did with Sword Brethren, everything I did with Eli, everything I did by myself with Clifton, everything I did on internet radio, I got it on three CDs. With
wow.
All my notes. With a lot of my notes anyway.
Oh, gee. I was putting putting a program on one audio CD.
That's just crazy. Well,
I
mean, first,
crazy.
It's
yeah.
not going to play. It's not going to play in a regular CD player.
The audio?
No, it won't play. There are a lot of CD players they make that play MP3s. Okay?
Yeah. I thought it was MP3s they had a problem.
They are MP3s. All my programs are MP3s.
Yeah. But
I mean,
I thought
can fit 50 of them on a CD.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the whole year on three CDs. I mean, it's over 150 programs.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I'll do that. I'll just.
Well, I got them. I mean, I advertise them on the front page of my site for a donation. I'll send you the three CDs. I won't. Yeah, you know, that's what I advertise on the front of my site to help me raise funds. You know, a lot goes into them. But you could download them all for free and put them on CDs. That ain't no big thing.
Oh, I download everything you guys do, all of you.
You see, I would make an audio CD. I would, but you know, one program would fit on a CD. However,
yeah.
You can only get in that audio CD format. You can only get 80 minutes on a CD.
Yeah, that's it. I can't believe it. MP3. You can get all that. I don't know what the technology is there.
And most of our programs, well, it's a compression technology, and most
yeah.
of our programs are you know, run well over 80 minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I put five of them on the other day. I thought, I wonder if it's going to give me the warning. I try to put them on an audio format, and I've got an Apple, and I hit the burn button and. Say, please put a CD in, and I put it in and close it up. And if I had two of them click, it'll say, do you want to, this is going to take two CDs. You want to do that or what? And I'd have to click two. And sometimes I put like 10 minutes on the second one, you know, to get two programs out. So, but this MP3 format, I can do that. I didn't know what I was doing with it when I first opened this Apple up, you know, and got it. But, that's amazing. Yeah, that's great. So I can put a whole bunch of those on there. You say you get 50 of them on a...
You can, yeah, you know, it depends on the length of them, but I've gotten 50 on a CD. Yeah, probably more than that.
How would I get a donation? I want to get your book, your Bible, you know, when you get that.
Well, right. And right, you know, that would be online already, except I'm having a problem with the PDF software company I use. And
I downloaded a year or so ago your translations. Of the New Testament,
well, right, they're on christogeny.com. I don't advertise my own stuff though. I'm terrible at spamming. I'm sorry.
I want to get the hard copy when you get it out,
Well, it'll be on. Yeah, you know, I gave up trying to find a publisher that'll publish it for me. It will be on lulu.com. As soon as I resolve the problems I'm having creating a PDF file.
Now,
I can create a perfect PDF file, but the software company, the software is not embedding all of the fonts like Lulu requires. and I might have to spring for Adobe Acrobat. And that's like $300, and that's a big stretch.
Wow, yeah.
You take a ferry over to Everett tomorrow, David, and I'll hand you those three DVDs.
Well, I'm coming over to the mainland tomorrow. I'm going with a buddy of mine, Ray, over here. He listens to that guy. You remember Bill? I told you guys about.
Well, if you email me your address, I'll mail you to see the streams. I mean, I don't.
Oh yeah, if you how do I get it? Just send mail you a donation or something into.
No, just email me your address. I mean, I don't require donations from people, but I ask for them. But it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I'll mail you the CDs.
Well,
two dozen sets I just made. I'm looking at.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great. My buddy Ray is going over. I'm going over with him. He's got to take his dog. He just bought a computer, so I'm going to get him hooked up. He's very leery. He's about 60, 70 years old now, but he's a pretty active guy, and he's going to learn how to use it. But he's very leery. Doesn't know if he's going to be able to do it. He's all worried about it. So. He's going over to pick up a computer table, Walmart or some place or another, and I'm going over with him. We're going to look around and stuff. But he's the one that listens to this Weaver fellow on television. You said you heard of him before, Bill. You remember who I'm talking about? Charles Weaver or Ray Weaver or...
Honestly, no. You might have me confused or something. I don't know.
I sent you something one time, and it's been a long time, but I know you probably you did come back. You told me you'd heard of him, but never had listened to him.
Okay.
But anyway, he's a kind of a two-seed line, but I don't spend a lot of time listening to him because if they're just a little bit off, I don't want to hear it, you know. I mean, I don't want to put a tire on my car that goes thump, 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 and all the others are running good, but I've got this worrisome thing all the time nagging me that something ain't right, you know. So I don't listen to it. I just listen to you and Eli and Brian and that stuff, you know, all you guys. And it's good. I like it. So anyway, he listens to him, but I'm trying to get him over into thinking clear. Helping him along with it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So he's getting a computer, and that'll get him online with some of this stuff, I'm hoping. I just have to go easy with him, I guess, and get him used to how to operate it, help him out.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me if I got stuff that's not on a computer. You know, it's hard. It's. I mean, if you're not part of the information age, you're going to miss the boat.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like anything else, you know. The telephone people didn't used to have telephones, and that was a, you know, how do you operate this telephone? You know, what are these buttons for? at one time, of course, you guys, most of you young enough, you don't remember. But we used to have, when I was a kid, we had a phone on the wall that would be it was a wooden box. It had a thing sticking out, and you talked into, and you cranked it.
Now you're telling on yourself. I mean,
no, I'm telling you, it was fun. Because you could pick it up and listen on the line. If there wasn't any talking, okay, the line's yours. If you wanted to get on to another area of the community, the county or whatever, you had to call the operator. She'd hook you up with another locality. You couldn't just dial, say, where I lived in Ohio. You couldn't dial into Dayton. They didn't have stuff like that. If you wanted to make a long-distance call, you'd call the operator and say, I want to operate on a long-distance call to Chicago, Illinois, or whatever, from Dayton. And she'd say, what's the number? And you'd give her the number and say, I'll call you back when I get your party. That's the way they used to do it. They'd call you back. You couldn't.
Now, I'm a dummy because John Weaver is all over the Christigenia.org site. Gerald Mosley loves him because he does a lot of good stuff on the Confederacy, you know, historical stuff.
Might be a different Weaver. He's got a really high polished television program where he reads and expounds and stuff, you know.
Okay, well, I don't know if this is the same guy, but Gerald Mosley has a lot of these sermons on the
Maybe it is. It might be.
16.christagenia.org. And it's, you know, Gerald, I haven't heard, listened to any of them yet. I don't have time, but Gerald said he does a lot of excellent work on you know, the history of the Confederacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he's not too seed line. He's
oh,
not.
No, this guy is...
Well, David is saying in the other day, Warrior Son of David saying in the forum that John Weaver you mean is a Calvinistic Baptist.
Yeah, whatever that is. Calvinistic Baptist, you know.
I don't get, you know, all the little I know Calvin and I know his works and I don't get into all the little Protestant sects because they're all off. I don't pay attention to what Baptists say or what I try not to.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. I never did. But, I mean, I never paid any attention to what anybody said coming out of a church in my lifetime because I didn't understand it. You know, I mean, I figured there was something there. I knew there was something there, just so this, you know, in a manner of speaking. So there's something behind it. But it looked like they were covering that up and presenting something else that I didn't want any part of. So I never joined in with them. But. To any great extent, you know. Well, anyway, you guys are, you really, I like the way you're doing these books by book by book by book, you know, word by word. That's just great. I mean, you get right down into the whole design of the books and the way they're written and the language, and that's just so, it's just perfect for me.
I'm not going to be arrogant enough to think that I'm fulfilling scripture, but Ephraim will learn doctrine line upon line. Yeah, you know.
Well, you're fulfilling something in my life. You and Eli and the rest of the fellows that are on here doing this.
Well, that's the,
you're bringing,
you know,
a message.
What I mean to say is that's the way we should be doing it.
Yeah. It's been a dry season for me all my life, you know, so to speak, and it's coming to life for me now.
I think we can all confirm that, David, with ourselves as well.
What's that?
I think we can all say that about each one of us for most of our lives.
Yeah, isn't that true? Yeah, it's true.
Yes. All of us, I'm sure.
Yep.
If we're honest.
I'm glad that German guy finally got out of jail who was in over there in Germany, Holocaust denier. He finally got out of jail, but he's afraid to speak.
Yeah, Ernst Sundel.
Yeah.
There's a lot more of them over there. So they got a woman, Sylvia Stoltz, in prison over there. It's a damn sin.
She was his lawyer, wasn't she?
Was she his lawyer? Or was she maybe Rudolph's lawyer or something like that. I forget.
I don't know. There's so much going on there. I mean, I did read some things about Sylvia Stoltz, and I've read a lot of stuff. I can't remember everything I've read about it because it's pretty complicated with everything else that's going on too. But I know they're clamping down on him. And
it's like Yuri Call. It makes me sick. Him in prison.
All right, Pilgrim knows. She says that Sylvia Stoltz was Sundel's attorney. That's what they do. You know, if you defend your client, that then you're guilty of the Holocaust denial too. It's incredible.
Yep. That's tough, isn't it?
That's the Jewish. You know, Satan's in charge when stuff like that goes on. There's no doubt.
Been going on for a long time.
I think she even gave a Heil Hitler once and twice.
Yeah, I love her already. She's a firebrand. We need a million Sylvia Stoltzes.
Well, you know, yeah, I know. You know, once she said, I think, that they want to turn Germany into a mongrelized nation of stupid consumers.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want to do with all of Christendom.
Like, hello.
Well, that's obvious.
Feed us cheap wheat from China and poison our kids.
Don't eat it. Yeah, it's
incredible. Wherever you've seen a rabbi, you've already seen a crime. I swear.
Hey, Bill, you know how, well, obviously, well, scripture
Satan rules the world, you know, Babylon. He's the god of this world, prince of this world, who's been let loose for a little while. But is it? I mean, I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm asking, not you, but nor myself, but Yahweh. I mean, isn't it a legal matter that when if your lease is about to run up, you're going to have to. It's going to be publicly known.
Well, I think I know the correlation you're trying to make, but I don't really know if Yahweh cares about the laws of the Jews.
Well, no. no, but it's
in the kingdom law, there are no leases.
Right.
It's the year of Jubilee, and everybody gets their land back. That's the way that works.
Well, the earth is Yahweh's in the fullness thereof, and he created all things. And he is, I mean, there's, to deceive us in bowing down to the beast and submitting our power or everything to the beast doesn't mean that he's legitimate in the sense of, I mean, he's obviously a phony.
Outside the laws of God, yeah.
Well, you mean, he's a big liar.
Yeah, he's completely,
And reality in that sense is, it's an ugly reality, and it's actually happened. I'm not denying that, but I'm denying
we should adhere to it, you mean?
No, the verdict. I mean,
Are you talking about the legal aspects of what's being done to the Israelites in this country and elsewhere? Jews? Is that what you're referring to? Maybe I misunderstood what you're.
Well, like there were always warnings given by our forefathers, Christians, to Nineveh and to, when Yeshua himself, Yahweh, came and John the Baptist and different prophets, there was always an edict or a warning, you know. And obviously we've had lots of warnings even now, even every day of our lives, but I mean in the sense of, I don't know, I mean, he's coming as a thief.
Yes, he is. Hi, sir. How you doing?
Hey, fine, thanks.
I think this is the first time you've called in, right?
Yeah, it is, Bill. Thanks. I actually had a question about scripture, or more like a comment. I'm over here at, I found this at, Hebrews chapter 13.
Okay.
Right, and it's a verse, verse 4.
Okay.
Maybe you should read that from your Bible, because mine is Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Marriage is valuable in every way. Likewise, the undefiled bed. Yahweh will judge fornicators and adulterers.
Okay.
Fornicators, now, in Paul's writing, it could be established that fornicators are race mixers.
I thought fornicators were just sleeping with other people.
No. Not in the New Testament context, no. Jude 7 defines fornication as the pursuit of strange flesh. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, refers back to the race-mixing episode between the Moabites and the Israelites in Numbers chapter 25, and he calls it fornication.
Okay, now...
Let me go one more step. The apostles in Acts chapter 15 advised that the Christian disciples should follow the Ten Commandments and to abstain from fornication, things strangled in blood. And the reason for that is this. In the Hebrew Old Testament, adultery meant to dilute your blood, to race mix. And there's another commandment that
that covers what we considered adultery today. And that's thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, right?
Okay.
But the seventh commandment in the Hebrew Old Testament is about race mixing. However, when the New Testament writers wrote the Gospels and their epistles, that they were constrained by the Greek usage of the Septuagint writers because that's what they followed. And the Greek Septuagint writers, unfortunately, that they chose the good literal translation, right? That they chose the word moikos to translate adultery. And the word moikos comes from the Greek verb mignoumi. And mignoumi means to mix, and moikos basically means mixed. But that's not the context that the Greeks used it in their culture. In Greek culture, they used that word to describe the general confusion of the bloodline by screwing somebody who is not your wife, basically. Sex outside of marriage or whatever.
Right, right.
And that's the way the Greeks used the word. So the apostles, I believe, added the word pornēs to the commandments. And that, you know, Jude and Paul both back this up because the Greek Septuagint writers chose a word that didn't really, in the cultural context, mean what the actual original commandment meant because they understood that the actual original commandment was a commandment against race mixing. Now, in the Greek culture, pornēs meant any sort of illicit sex, okay? Basically, prostitution or other forms of illicit sex. However, to a Greek, in the Greek culture, having sex with somebody and having a union with anybody outside of your own tribe was considered illicit sex. So Jude describes pornēs in Jude 7 as the pursuit of strange flesh, and Paul uses the adjective to define the race mixing episode of Numbers 25. So it should be that's two witnesses that it basically means race mixing, and I'm sure there's probably one or two others, and
okay.
There is. Pornēs is used of Jezebel.
All right, now I'm going to throw something else at you. All right, now you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2.
And Paul uses fornication to describe something else, yes. But that doesn't mean that fornication is not race mixing.
Okay. Yes, he's talking about it in the context of a man and his...
And his father's wife, right. Any form of illicit sex, that's what I said. But race mixing is one of those forms of illicit sex. And it's defined twice that way in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Jude 7.
Let me go to 10. No, I'm just curious. I mean, like, how can you sort this out? I mean, I know you just did.
Read all the Greek. It comes to you. Think it through. I'm sorry. I sat in prison for 12 years and thought about this stuff, you know, and that's how I got to the point where I'm at. I'm not beating my chest. I'm just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Phil, can somebody argue with you as far as, let's say, well, you're biased because you spent 12 years with these freaking monkeys in prison?
Well, you know something? They might say that. But, you know, I didn't spend 12 years with these monkeys in prison. I spent 25 years with monkeys in prison because I worked in a prison for over 12 years before I ended up in one. Okay?
Yeah.
And I was raised on the streets of Jersey City. I've seen them firsthand all my life. So the Bible only basically buttressed or attested to a conclusion that I already had. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it's not. It's I'll argue about the meanings of the words all day. I'll discuss the meanings of Greek words all day. I mean, we could do it, and Hebrew words all day. But have your dictionary ready, and that's, you know, that's the Scripture, and it's black and white. You know, if you ask a Catholic what the difference is between fornication and adultery, they'll tell you, oh, no, they're the same thing. And then you go to this verse you just pointed out, and I know because I tested that on my mother, right? And she was born a Baptist and raised a Catholic. because of, you know, a Catholic adopted her, but that he was a good man, but that's okay.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 13.
Yeah, you go to Hebrews and fornication and adultery you mentioned together. So how could they both be sex outside of marriage? They're not.
Okay, now let me throw this at you. Maybe they're referring to fornication as far as you're being unmarried and adultery is being
married. But if you understand the Greek culture, and I could show you this from Aeschylus and Euripides, marriage happens in a bed. It doesn't happen at an altar. If you penetrate a woman and she's a virgin, she's your wife. If she's not a virgin, you're in trouble because you're with somebody else's wife.
Mm.
Or you're with a whore. That's the only two alternatives in Greek culture and in Hebrew culture.
All right, so now explain that in context of verse 4 there.
Well, there's no such thing as sex outside of marriage. Have sex with a woman and she's a virgin. She. You're to take her to wife. Marriage is defined in that manner in the Old Testament.
That's true, because you have to pay the 10 shekels of silver.
Right.
Well, even to be a white, you know, when we say white, to be an Adamite, I mean, how many of our forefathers had to be absolutely and strictly racist and love their own kind is just to keep.
So, to me, fornicators and adulterers are race mixers or people who mess around with other people's spouses within their own race. I'm sorry, Bruce. I just had to get that out when I thought about
Bill?
Answering his question.
Bill?
Yes.
So the Greeks had a little different view on. They thought that anybody outside their city limits, more like a type of culture, was.
Well, let me put it this way: marriages. If you're a Trojan, or if you're an Athenian, a marriage to an Athenian is a legitimate marriage.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage to a Trojan is not considered a legitimate marriage.
So
Herodotus, 450 BC, Cyrus, the king of Persia. Okay, Isaiah calls him a man of gold. He's a man chosen by Yahweh in the book of Isaiah to perform Yahweh's will. Okay? Herodotus, the Greek historian, called him a mule. And Herodotus called him a mule because his mother was a Median princess and his father was a Persian prince. But Herodotus thought he was a mule because he was half Median, half Persian. He was all white, but he was half Median, half Persian. So to the Greeks, he was a mule. And I can pull that passage out of Herodotus. I've quoted it in my writing.
Yeah, I heard you say that before, too. I understand that. The Greeks then would have had a different usage or meaning. They were a little stricter, were they, would you say, or less?
No, they were much stricter than we are. And yes, they were stricter than the Hebrews.
But
it probably happened just as often as it did in the Hebrew culture. But the Greeks, you know, Strabo, he died in 25 AD, and he marveled at the cities in Egypt where people of more than one race lived in the same city. He couldn't understand that. And he mentions it explicitly.
Yeah.
Because in Greece, that didn't happen. If you were a Spartan, you lived in a Spartan city. If you went to an Athenian city on business, you had to stay in a certain designated area where there were inns or taverns where you stayed. You didn't get found outside of that area at night.
But the Greeks wouldn't strictly have construed a Trojan and an Athenian mixing as an adulteration, though, would they?
They would have. It was
private culture.
The children were considered bastards by the Greeks.
But in fact, they weren't according to the scriptures.
No, because they were all white, and even
they're
the sons
white,
of
yeah.
Israel were permitted to take wives of the other white Adamic nations. I mean, they had to.
So is this why they had to add that word to the Greek usage? Because the Greeks...
That's why the apostles added the command about fornication into the New Testament. Yes, it is. Acts chapter 15. Yes, it is why. Because the Greeks use that word moikos differently than the way the Septuagint translators the meaning of the word that they translated adultery into that word. Literally, it's a good translation. Idiomatically, it was not. So the apostles added the word pornes to the mix, fornication. And then they defined it, the pursuit of strange flesh.
And those folks that Paul was writing to about these subjects,
okay,
obviously, the whole Yahshua coming in the Yahweh coming in the flesh, it actually kept our forefathers within their tribes through that Christian doctrine. Yeah, makes sense.
Well, for a long time, I mean, if you were in a village in Germany 500 years ago, you were more or less expected to marry a local girl from the same, you know, nation and district. You were not expected to go to Italy and find yourself an Italian. That was unheard of. But let me tell you a true story in my own family. Okay, my great great grandfather, was Jacob Fink. He's my great-great-grandfather, was Jacob Fink, three greats. He came here in 1836 with his son, Johann Henry Fink, Henry, however you say that in German, I forget. And John Henry Fink, he was known as, he's my great-great-grandfather. He married an Irish girl. And he was the executor of my grandfather's will, of his father's will, until he married an Irish girl.
Hmm.
Then his brother became the executor of his father's will. I swear, his father threw a fit. We have the family records because he married an Irish girl.
Well, the Irish weren't well thought of in that period. Did they even they went over to the Mexican army, some of them, didn't they?
Well, right. And basically the point I'm trying to make is that he was from the Rhineland in Germany. They came here in 1836, and that's how he felt about who you should marry. And when his wife died, my great-great-great-grandmother, he actually sent back to Germany for a woman named Catherine Edelman, and I got the records, and she was 35 and he was 56, and he had a few bucks, you know, and that they had a big beer brewery in New York, my family, until Prohibition. He actually sent back to Finkenbach, which is probably my ancestral town in the Rhineland in Germany, and got himself a new wife. I got the family records. I could prove it.
Yeah, words so easy today.
Right. I would just love to order me up a blonde from Munich or something. Nah, it's not happening. But, yeah, that's what he did. He could afford to do that. But that's what he did. And he had two kids with her, and then he died at, 68 or something.
It's a good story. I mean, it gets your point across, for sure. But it's – but Bill, I mean, dealing with the modern-day person, I mean, what if they point out to you and say, and people can throw this out all the time, pursuing strange flesh. Well, that could be anybody. Anybody's strange.
Well, you know something? The Greek word is heteros, and it means different.
Right.
Heteros means heterosexual, sex with a different sex. The Greek word is heteros, and it means different. So that, you know, that meaning of strange is a little sharper than strange.
Well, strangers.
Yeah, the Greek word is heteros. It means different. The pursuit of different flesh. Flesh different from your own. That's the only thing it could mean.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in I was studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they, again, I guess they spiritualize everything. So strange flesh meaning just somebody who's different.
A Lutheran? That's just crazy. Well, you know, that's... In conjunction with Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, Paul uses that same word. The Corinthians were Dorian Greeks, okay? And the Dorian Greeks came from Palestine. They came from Dor in Palestine. And that's my assertion, but I could demonstrate it in history and archaeology, in Homer and archaeology. And basically, Paul told these people, do not, he told them that their fathers were baptized in the cloud and the sea with Moses. And then he said, do not commit fornication like your fathers did. And in one day, 24,000 were slain. And the only thing that could possibly refer to is Numbers chapter 25, when the children of Israel joined themselves to the daughters of Moab, and in one day, 23,000 of them were slain. And there's a 1,000-person discrepancy. All the pastors love to point out. And then they forget about what the word fornication could possibly mean.
That refers to core pill, right?
Hmm?
That's core?
No, that's the, the Moabites that under Balaam, the son of Balak, taught the children of Israel to sin and join themselves to the daughters of Moab. And there is several.
But I mean, that was
the
place
in the epistles that substantiate this.
Was the place Korah? It was called Korah, Korah
was one of the sons of I think one of the sons of Adam or something that screwed up. The gainsaying of Korah.
But that was during the
the episode I'm talking about is when Phinehas ran his spear through the chief, of the children of Simeon and killed him and the Moabite woman that he was copulating with on the floor of the tent.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Just replete with different incidents like that. I'll just remember that.
Well, that's definitely a race-mixing episode that Paul joins the word fornication to, that describes, uses the word pornes to define. Good night, Robert.
When was it that some of the Irish joined up with the Mexican army?
During the U.S.-Mexican War, the Irish were poorly treated in the U.S. Army, and eventually they decided to, there's no point for us to fight for this army if we're not going to be citizens or seen as equal for these people. So a bunch of artillerymen, I think, they just went to the other side.
That's the first time I heard that. I don't doubt it, though.
No, it happened. They even did a movie on it. There was a movie by, what's that name, Berenger? Tom Berenger did a movie on it.
Yeah, he's
a
pretty good actor.
I believe that the oppression of the Irish was due to the Jewish bankers in London, but it happened.
I mean, I don't see why. I mean, wasn't this a widespread thing in the country that the Irish were not seen that way?
Well, I know it was prevalent in Britain, and it was prevalent on the east coast of the United States. I don't know if it was widespread.
Right.
But it was the English and British propaganda that caused it.
And we know who's behind English propaganda.
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind.
I guess at that time they decided to play them off against each other.
Well, right. And you know, the medieval English writers loved them. Bede, the venerable Bede, loved the Irish. Wrote very well about them.
Exactly. I mean, what's not to? I mean, they're beautiful people. The great cult.
There's no doubt. Even I might be biased because I'm about a quarter Irish, a little less, but I would feel the same way. My first wife was 100% Irish. My second wife was Polish. I really took a wrong turn there. I've known some beautiful Polish people. I'm just kidding, but.
Oh, I see.
She in particular was a straight bitch.
Not too bad. You never know until you live with it, yes.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Seems like the Poles got a bad rap. I mean, they had a lot of those. Czars migrate over there, but not all the Poles mix with them, I guess. Yeah.
And like now that I know what I know, I got to say that my first two wives were both blonde-haired German girls, but I wasn't married to either of them, and I really screwed that up. Oh, well.
Now, that's, you know, it's, Bill, it's going to be tough to argue with you when it comes to this. I'm just trying to see it from the other side.
I understand that, but I think that, read the history and read, understand the Greek language and the background to the New Testament is the Old Testament, and that's where I'm coming from.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, do the study, and that's the only thing I could advise. I mean, that's
Well, I'm definitely reading your Christogenia. It's not the easiest thing to understand. I mean, you're talking about Strabo and what he says here and what they say there, you know.
Well, right, but the important thing, I think, is that I tell you where it is that what I'm quoting. A lot of people won't do that.
Yeah, I told a friend recently, and she's just beginning their studies of the Bible, and I told her, you have to be careful about what people tell you, because, you know, without your knowledge of history, they can easily misconstrue what you're telling, you know, what they're telling you in there.
Right, and I pride myself in my citations, because I don't get, you know, if I'm inventing anything, you could look up any one of my papers and go to that book and go get yourself a Loeb Library copy of Strabo, or maybe find a copy online. I don't know if there are any, and go there and you'll find that I quoted it accurately, as long as it's the same, you know, translation.
Right. I find that scripture at Hebrews 13:4 is to be, you know, it's to really throw something at people. It's like, what is the difference between a fornicator and an adulterer?
Right. And there's another. I think it might be Hebrews 13. What's Hebrews 13:8? Oh, let me go back to Hebrews. What's Hebrews 13:8?
That's that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday as today.
Okay, then I'm screwing up. Darn it! You see, I really don't know what the Bible says. Nah, I'm kidding. I don't know where everything is. It's Hebrews 12:8. I'm a dummy. Hebrews 12:8. You're either a son or a bastard.
Oh, yeah. Let me see that. There was something
else. And that word bastard is the Greek word nathos. And it's the antonym of the word gynaeceus. And gynaeceus means, when it comes to people, it means authentic. Authentically of the genealogy or the race. That's you know, the word's connected. A nathos is a half-breed in Greek. All Greek writing, Anathus is a half-breed. It's nothing that could be specialized. If you're the son of a Persian and a Egyptian or Nubian princess, you're Anathus. You're a bastard.
Well, I mean, the word both adulterous and adulterate and bastardized mean the same thing.
They're all racial words.
Right, yeah, that means to pollute the blood, make him pure.
Right, except that in the Greek culture, the word adulterous, the word, yeah, you know, moikao, moikos, and megnumi of people, that just meant, it could mean race mixing, but it meant any confusion of the bloodline through sexual relations with
your husband. Now, couldn't that any confusion mean, okay, a different family?
Well, right, it did. And that's why the apostles added the word pornēs in Acts chapter 15 to clarify what that commandment meant. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's put it this way. If you take those 10 commandments and one of them is thou shalt not commit adultery and the other one is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, well, what's God telling you? He's wasting two commandments on the same thing or what?
Yeah.
Hebrew, thou shalt not commit adultery, meant thou shalt not mix thy race. They were told to marry somebody from your own tribe.
So let me ask you this, Bill. So back then, I guess God kind of figured, well, you know, teenage kids, they're going to have sex, so there's not, you know, much I can do about that.
No, back then it didn't happen that way. I mean, it was a lot rarer than it is today. Women were kept under tight restrictions back then.
Yes, I understand.
Culturally.
But what I mean is, it's like, so if somebody were, I mean, the law already covers what would happen if a man, you know, if
they slept with each other and they weren't married, betrothed to anyone else. You know, they have, he has to pay the 10 shekels and then take her as his wife. But, okay, so if she was betrothed, or, and then that would be considered what? And what crime would that be considered?
If she wasn't?
If she was betrothed or married, what would that, what kind of crime would that be? What would they call that?
Well, it's not really a crime because, oh, if she was already married to somebody else.
Right.
Well, then that's rape. I mean, the guy dies. He gets stoned.
Well,
and maybe her, too.
Well,
and there's laws about that also.
Yes, I know the laws. But what about, now, it says that for any woman, it didn't say a married woman or not. It just said any woman who that happened.
Where is that?
Like, I forgot where it is in Deuteronomy. Is it in Deuteronomy?
I don't know offhand, but I would expect that it meant any maiden. You don't pay 10 shekels for sleeping with somebody else's wife. You get stoned to death for sleeping with somebody else's
wife.
Oh, that's
true. But it says if a woman is, like, in the city and she screamed, then she's not to be stoned.
Well,
but,
right.
Right. So I guess there's a difference because if a guy is raping a virgin, let's say, then...
Well, in America in the 1800s, they had all over the place wanted reward adulterer. And they have posters up in the 1800s. You know that?
Well, adulterer for what?
If you commit adultery in America.
They have your picture up in the post office.
Yeah.
Okay, adultery, like, for
yeah,
marriage.
It was considered a serious crime.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they fought duels over that. I think General Van Dorn in the Civil War, I think he lost a fight with a man because I think he slept with his wife or something.
Yeshua, bless you guys. I'm going to get off of here.
Take care, James. Yeah, I'm about to cut this short. I hate to cut it short, but I have
Hell, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock here, isn't it, where
well,
you're
well,
at?
It's really early for me. I have a program tomorrow morning, though, that I don't want to, I want to be rested for.
Well, I'm tired. It's only 10 o'clock here. Anyway, catch Yeshua bless you guys and keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Kaiser, I'm, you know, I'm up to just open to discuss this again if you wish.
Well, Bill, I just want to clarify for not only my purpose, but also for everyone else that you can come across that, so that they can say, hey, look, you've been deceived by your churches. I mean, you're not supposed to mix marriage with these people. But isn't that kind of crazy in a place like America?
Yes, it is. But that's, you know, that's what the world has come to. The Jews have been forcing it down our throats for 100 years, that they've been encouraging it and pushing for it. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to cut it short. I really do have to get up early.
Yes.
In the morning. I'm going to be on Clayton Douglas's program at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning on a Blog Talk Radio. The links are on the front. I hope they're good. I got to test them as soon as I wake up. The links are on the front page of Christigenia.
All right, Bill. You have a good night.
Thank you, Bill. Good night, all.
Good night, Bill. Thanks very much.
Good night, everybody.
God bless.
Good night.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Praise God.